More Entertainment Radio, episode number 50.
50.
50.
The Big 5-0. And who's that on the phone there?
It's a round number, you know, and that means that the world ends right after it.
That's right. This is the important one. But the world isn't going to end, because we will continue on. We will press on. Through rain, how does that go? Rain, sleet, snow.
Something.
No power, no internet connection.
Ah!
That's the true horrors of the modern world.
And then a wire to our computer to play multiplayer gaming.
We will shine through.
Persevere no matter what.
We will. That is Ode on the telephone. I am C4.
And I'm Cobart.
And let's see, being episode 50, we're not going to sit here and bore you with talking about, you know, what is new and what we think about some of the new games that come out, because they all suck. They clearly that games fucking have problems today. They do. And you know what it is?
There's some gems.
There is, but there's so few that it's just like, and yet games are so marketed and they're so in our face now. You see them everywhere that it seems like, wow, there's so many great games. You know what? These games are good. The games are good. They just don't catch you. You don't feel like you want to come back and play them. You know, it's like I go out and I buy any average new game. It's a good game. The graphics are good. The sound is decent. The controls, you know, let's assume the controls are decent enough.
Mm-hmm.
They're workable. And, you know, I'll play this game for, you know, an hour, 5 hours, the day. And then once I turn it off, there's no reason to go back. Like, it doesn't make me all excited to play.
You have to add, there's two possibilities. Either they're just running out of ideas and everything's too similar to what you've already played in the past, or maybe we're just getting old.
I hope
that's not the case, because the last thing I want is in 5 years to be all not playing video games anymore.
And I'm not worried about that. I'm not, because if I've made it 25 years so far, when that's still the only thing I think about, I'm not worried about not wanting to play games. The problem is that they're just not that fun anymore. It's like, they're fun and they have their time, but I don't think that they have something that'll hook you. Like, there is games that'll do it to you. Okay, and that's part of the topic of today. There is those games, you know, that will suck you in and give you that feeling and take you off to that magical world. The problem is there's just not as many as there should be, I think.
Yeah.
Especially with the number of games coming out. But that's more of like a thought for the day after we get into the meat and potatoes of today's show, which was actually inspired by, if you ever spend any time on the forums, and there was a post by John Kay, actually to Cobar, about Final Fantasy I and Legend of Zelda.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this was a post directed towards you, and it was the thread. It's under gaming, and it's called Life Altering Games. And this thread, when I first read it, I was like, well, that's kind of neat. That was a neat topic. So I threw my two cents in, which ended up taking me over an hour to write. Because I was so involved, and I started tripping hard when I was thinking of the games that changed my life. Because this isn't your average top 10 list. This isn't the best games I've ever played. This isn't the only games that you should ever play list. This isn't the 10 games I would tell somebody to buy. This is just what happened to me. This is just how I got to where I am today. You know, this is just the way it came out. And we've all got our list here today, and we're going to try to get Hunter and Hooks and whoever else we can. And we couldn't get a hold of them today. They weren't available. It just didn't happen. But hopefully we're going to be able to record little segments with them and either drop them in the chronological order that we're going to do this here or something. I don't know. Before we post this show, because, you know, being episode 50, it's going to be huge. It's going to be a rocking good time. So sit back, get ready for some storytelling, because this is cool. Now, and it's going to start in the beginning. What was the first game? Ode, what was the first game that you ever played?
Kung Fu.
You played Kung Fu. Why don't you tell us about that?
I don't know. I didn't have a chance to play too many games when I was younger and stuff. I mean, I don't really remember what the first game I ever played was, but it was the first game I ever really played a lot.
Wait. What system was this for?
It was for an Apple IIc.
All right.
You know, the PC?
Yeah.
And I was just addicted to this game. I would sit there and it had multiple difficulty levels, and I sat there and played through all of them. I had like 9 stages, and it was basically a basic side-scroller game where you just walk around and keep hitting the button until something dies, and then you move to the next thing, keep hitting the button until he dies, and move to the next thing. And I felt like a pigeon there, but I just enjoyed it so much. It was all I could do for months was play this game and get through it over and over and over again and try to get through it faster.
That is awesome. What did you play? Go for it.
My first game, oddly enough, since I'm getting so much shit for having never owned a Nintendo.
This is mine, because this is yours. Both of yours are before my first game. That's why I was like, wow, I'm not starting this off. How weird.
And
I've got years on both of you, don't I?
Yeah.
Not much on Ode, but a little bit, right?
6 months.
6 months, like, yeah.
And it's not so much that I played these games when they came out. It was just the first. My dad owned one of those Atari machines that had a couple games on it at Pong and Breakout. So my first game ever was actually Pong, which is odd because I'm getting so much shit for having never played things like Zelda 1 and Final Fantasy because it was just before my time, before I started really playing. And but that was my first machine, it had one of those little knobby controllers.
Yeah, like an old, what are they, Atari or something?
The paddles.
Yeah.
It didn't have the stick, it had the
knob.
And I was playing this thing for like a week. I was just hooked. Oh my god, I can actually interact with the TV, because before that it was all about TV.
Yeah.
I'd sit there and watch the Smurfs like fucking 24 hours a day.
Hell yeah.
But I played this thing for like a week straight, and I guess the batteries from like long ago were still in this thing. And eventually they blew up, and the battery acid just totally trashed the whole thing. And so I got my first taste of video gaming, I was hooked, and I had nothing. For years, nothing.
But that planted the seed.
That planted the seed.
That got stuck in your head, and that was it. I played the first game. I couldn't remember, but I just did a little bit ago. We were talking about this, and I remember that Miss Pac-Man, and it was the little Coleco handheld thing. You know, the one that looked like, I don't know, have you ever seen that, Ode? Looks like an arcade cabinet.
No.
It's like a little miniature. It's handheld, but it's kind of big. You know, it's like a shrunk down arcade cabinet, but it's like kind of hand, like you
like would, the size of a bread box.
Yeah. Is it bigger than a bread box? But it's a little bit smaller than that, even so. But I mean, it's like, I don't know, it was pretty cool. I'm sure if you go looking around, you'll find them online. They had like Pac-Man, Donkey Kong, Centipede, and Miss Pac-Man. And I remember, I was like, I had to have been 3 or 4 years old. I think my parents were getting divorced. And that happened when I was like 3. And I remember my mom had this white, I'm pretty sure it was white, a white box of this thing in her closet. And I remember, wow, game. And I didn't quite know the time, but when it was turned on, I knew that, like, this was it. I was like, this is what I'm going to play for a long time. And I did. And the worst part was you had no control over shit. You had on one player, or you had off single player and two player. And it had two little thumbsticks. And that was it. You had no volume control. So 24 hours a day in my house, my mom had to put up with listening to walk, 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 you know, and because that's all I played. And it was like LCD screen that would like light up behind, you know, it was so ghetto, but it was so unbelievably cool. And I played that thing for years. I didn't have anything else. I didn't know anything else. I didn't know any better. I never saw an Atari or something like that for years, but you know, I just didn't, it just wasn't part of our life. And I remember, I went on a trip with my grandparents somewhere, like, probably 2 years later. And I was still playing the piss out of this thing, right? And we were in the car, going to, like, from the Bay Area to, like, Carmel or some shit. This has got to be, like, a 3-4 hour car ride, whatever it was, wherever we were coming from. And my grandparents must have been ready to kill me, right? But, for hours on end, the occasional, you know? And I was so good by that time that I rolled the score. You know, you can get 999999. And I was so curious to what happened after that, you know, that was like the motivation for playing this game for like every day of my life. I can't imagine how much it cost me, you know, or my parents in batteries over the course of those 2 years. I used 4D batteries, I think, or maybe C's.
Oh.
Yeah. And I rolled the score, and it just goes to zeros, and you start, like, it just keeps going though, right? And it was like, I just felt that there was no more reason to play, and I never played it after that. I turned it off. I didn't lose. I didn't die. I just turned it off. That was it for me. You know, it was weird. I just couldn't go on.
So have you played Pac-Man since?
Yeah, occasionally, but it's like I've lost all skill in it because I just haven't played it for years.
That game kicks my ass. I don't know what it is about that game.
Yeah, I'm not so hot
it
shit at
it. It kicks my ass.
You know who's the man at that? Huh. Hunter.
Is he?
Him and I ran into a Miss Pac-Man machine somewhere the other day and decided to both play. I mean, we had to. It was fucking Miss Pac-Man. So we played, and I swear to God, my quarter lasted me about 5 minutes, maybe. He played for like 20 minutes and hasn't played in years. And it got him all thinking about buying an arcade stick for his PC and shit and running on MAME all day. You know, he's like, oh, I gotta go play again now.
You know the best thing about those old style games was, though, especially in the arcade?
What's that?
If you were good enough, you could play forever.
That's true.
Yeah, there was no end to any of those games in that era. The whole Atari era.
Nowadays, if you go to an arcade, every game, you get 2 minutes or whatever. You know, you get so much time, and that's it.
That's how they, yeah, and they
what?
They limit you. Like, think about, like, a race car game. No matter how good you are, you only get the one track. A fighting game, no matter how good you are, eventually, you know, you're either going to fight all five dudes and win, or you're going to lose once and be done, right? Yeah. And they cheat like a motherfucker. But even if you beat all five guys, how long do you think that took? 10 minutes, tops, tops. It doesn't take 2 minutes. They're time limited. You look at Street Fight. How long do you have to win? 60 seconds, and it's not even that long. It's not 60 seconds. It's 99 seconds, but they're computer seconds. You know how they go like one third,
yeah,
three times the speed? So you've got like just over 30 seconds per round. Okay, so let's say you fight six guys. That's 3 minutes for your quarter or 50 cents that you get. They're all like limited like that because the companies know that's how they're making their money.
And they're expensive as
yeah.
hell nowadays.
Yeah,
they're not, exactly.
They're not a quarter or 50 cents anymore.
And I remember when I saw 50 cents, I'm like, what?
Me too. That's outrageous. I'll never pay that. This won't last. Here I am paying $1.25 for Hydro Thunder.
Yeah.
Shit. You know, like, what
Which
the?
Is a cool arcade game.
That is.
The waves actually like.
I love that game. it's one of the better games I've played lately in the arcades too, but it's not $1.25 when you can buy it for your Dreamcast for $20, and it's just as fat single player. The multiplayer's kind of weak. But did you ever get in trouble for playing that too much, Ode, when you were on that computer?
Oh yeah, all the time.
That's the best part of getting yelled at, isn't
it? the second game that really got me was I think the game was called, now I'm not sure, even sure what the name of the game was, but I think it was called Deathlord.
Uh-huh.
And it was the first RPG I ever played.
Oh, really? This was on the Apple also?
Yep, it was on the Apple. It was, you know, really archaic. The battles were all turn-based combat, you know, just standard old RPG. It was as basic as you could get, but the game was huge. Like, there was a lot you could do, and it easily had 100 or so hours of gameplay. And I went through everything. I mean, I was almost to the point of beating the game when my mom took it away.
Oh no!
Yeah, and she wouldn't let me have it back ever.
That's mess.
So to this day, you've never...
I seriously was like 6 hours from beating the game, maybe.
Oh my god.
So to this day, you've never beaten it?
No, I got eventually, like, later grabbed a copy of it, and it was just like, eh, whatever. You know, I got there.
Yeah, that's the problem. You get a game that old, you try to go back to it, because for whatever reason, you couldn't beat it. It's like, eh.
Yeah, I have a hard time if they're too old. To a point, though, like, I can go all the way back to 8-bit games, no problem.
I'd love to, beat it, but it's just I don't think I can stop playing it again, you know?
Yeah, I don't
either. It was great when I played it the first time, but nowadays it's so archaic compared to what you see now.
Yeah, exactly. And especially if you're playing something good. That's what I find the hardest to beat. If I'm sitting around and every game I have sucks, and every new game I have I don't care to play, I can go back and play some old that's fun.
I have an easier time going back to Super Nintendo than I do to PlayStation.
Oh, yeah.
Super Nintendo didn't try to be like the graphics today.
Yeah.
PlayStation is like in between, and it's all muddy and all polygonal, and it tries to be all 3D and cool like graphics are today, but just falls so short. At least Super Nintendo
didn't try.
It was different.
Yeah, exactly. They knew what their limitations were. You know, look, what was that game? What was that game? Star Fox. You know how good that came out?
Yeah.
You know, for being like, you know, the one that gave you that real 3D feel anyway. You know, I mean, look at how awesome that was. It played good. That was what was important. You know, it didn't look very good at all, but it played excellent. Now, I didn't play anything since that little Ms. Pac-Man handheld thing until I had an Atari 2600. And there was not one game, because we didn't have, like, gaming wasn't big back then for me either. I mean, the industry might have been big, but I was 5, you know? I didn't have any money. I couldn't go out and buy a game for myself every now and again. You know, I was like, all I could do would be to beg for a game. And I had E.T., one of the greatest Atari 2600 games ever made. That one goes down in history as one of the worst games I've ever seen. I remember I had Pitfall, which I spent a lot of time with. I spent a lot of time with Pitfall, but it didn't do it for me. It wasn't what I was looking for. The Atari, and I had a couple other games, like Ghost House or something like that, or Ghost Mansion or something, and there was others, but you know what? Nothing really, like, sparked anything in me. So it was like I had this great, fantastic Ms. Pac-Man game, and then I saw nothing but what I considered to be not so great for a long time. I played the crap out of Pitfall, but it didn't blow my mind. What came next?
Speaking of 2600, I gotta throw something out real quick. There was this game that my grandma had. My grandma had a 2600. That I was
what?
Yeah. I can't remember where she got it or what, but she had it for the kids.
Oh, okay.
You're the best grandma.
At one of the games, and she had like this big box of games, huge.
Damn.
Numbers of games.
What the hell?
But this was like in Super Nintendo days. This was like she bought this at a garage sale or something. So it was pretty sad.
Okay.
I'd go there and I'd be sitting there playing crap, and I'm like, I could be playing F-Zero or fucking any number of cool shit. But there was this one game where you were a square.
Ghost House. This has got to be it, man. I was a square in that.
And
it looked just like me. I collected little things. It looked nothing like me.
And you went and collected, like, keys. And, like, the bad guys looked like seahorses.
Like adventure?
It might have been.
Maybe. Could you shoot shit?
No.
You didn't have, like, a bow?
No. You were a dot. And you collected keys and opened up doors. And there were, like, seahorses that swallowed you. And if anybody knows what I'm talking about, I want to know the name of this game just because it was so bizarre and I couldn't figure out how to play this game for the life of me. Because all that we had was the cartridge. No box, no book, no nothing. Just the cartridge. And I could not figure out what was the point of this game other than just to, like, move forward.
The craziest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
That was my problem with E.T. I couldn't figure out the point of it either. I just would walk around this rope, and then you could, like, fall down a hole, and then you could, like, make your head go long, and then you could, like, climb out of it. That's where this game was fucking horrible.
Anyway, if anybody knows what the hell I'm talking about, let us know, because I gotta know what game this was.
Bizarre.
That's probably a good segue, you guys. I imagine everyone had a moment with Gauntlet.
Oh, god damn you! That's where I was going next, but I was trying to squeeze it in before my 8-bit Sega Master System days, so go right ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say, you know, I mean, Gauntlet was the game for a while. You know, you could sit there and just mash the button, like, watching these little critters just die left and right. You felt like the man, you know? I think Gauntlet was the first game that ever made me feel, you know, like a god, you know, kill, like, hundreds and hundreds of pugs running around.
Yeah, with ease, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, later on, it was like Wolfenstein and Doom, you're mowing down shit with, you know, chain guns and whatever, but this was a precursor to that.
Mm-hmm.
I just like that mass slaughter, you know, kind of. I just killed everything.
Where did you play it?
Originally in the arcade, actually.
See, goddammit. Me too. And I was, it's not on my list, but when we were talking about this just a minute ago, I was thinking, oh crap, I gotta bring up Gauntlet. Because when I asked you, did you get in trouble, this stands out in my memory as one of those marks. One of those things that I'll never forget. I remember, you guys know, Safeway, right? The supermarket store? You know, a lot of people that listen aren't in, even in this country, so. It's like a store you go buy food at. It's called Safeway. But back in the day, they had these other stores called Alpha Beta, and there was an Alpha Beta that was down by our house, and they had Gauntlet there, the arcade machine Gauntlet. And I remember convincing my mom to give me a damn quarter or two while she went and did her shopping to sit there and play this game. And I remember sitting there, and I had, like, decent life left, you know, and I was like, just whooping the shit out of all of these creatures, and I was doing so good, and my mom comes back with her groceries, and she's all, let's go. I'm like, hang on, just a second, I'll be there in a minute, right? And she goes, I'm leaving you here. I go, oh yeah, right, you know. Sure as shit, man, I'm playing, I zone out again, you know, yeah, right, she's leaving me, she's gonna stand right here until I die. I'm fucking mashing that button, I'm sucked into the screen, and I look around, she's gone. And I look out the door, she's got my sister, they're getting in the car. Holy shit, man, I freaked out. I didn't know what to do, man. I was like, do I stay and play this game? Or do I leave? And the reasoning came down to this, was, well, if I stay, eventually I'm going to lose and need more quarters. So I better go now. So I can come back later. That sucked. That was like trying to teach me some kind of lesson that
did not work.
It didn't work. It backfired because then it became, well, now I know the games are more important to me than anything else. You know, that's what I hold to the highest regard. Now, you know. So
I have a story like that, although it doesn't fit with the timeline.
Okay. When is it?
It's my middle school era, the Warcraft 2.
Warcraft, okay. Then we'll get there. All
right.
Okay, just because we got, that's around, Diablo? I mean, Doom? Just before Doom?
Before Doom, you think?
When the hell was Warcraft 2 out?
Warcraft 2 came out...
It was before Quake.
I want to say 1998, something like that. I don't know, it was before, yeah, it was early.
It was before Quake, because I remember playing the Warcraft 2 Alpha before I played the Quake Beta, or Alpha, whatever I had.
Mm-hmm.
I remember playing it before, but I remember playing Doom an awful lot, and I don't think I was playing Warcraft an awful lot yet. So whatever, we'll squeeze it in there somewhere.
Right.
Anyway, because this is the cool part. I was telling these little stories about these games. You know, yeah. I knew you had a story, which is why I thought it was early for some reason. So, but we all learn lessons in all these games. This is the point. You know, there was something in these games that like stuck with us. You know, and as you heard, like my parents, you know, divorced when I was that age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I got that Ms. Pac-Man. So you got to figure that like. Today, I swear to God, I learned everything I know, just like 90% from video games. I swear to God. Moving on after Gauntlet, is anybody close to that? The next thing I've got is 8-bit Sega Master System stuff.
I got Wolfenstein 3D.
That's after. Ode?
Yeah.
What do you got after Gauntlet?
Oh, Might and Magic 3, probably.
Might and Magic 3. Oh, okay, wait, okay. I know right where that is, so hold on. Because I got a couple just... Might and Magic 3. I remember that, too, dude. I remember you playing the crap out of that game.
That was a year of my life right there.
Damn, but wait. Well, because, see, I got a bunch of stuff before that. A bunch of stuff. I don't know where the hell you guys were. But, see, okay. Now, what happened to me after playing 2600 games and being, like, less than impressed, right? I remember playing Qbert, too, and going, what the hell is the point of this game?
Yeah.
And I was still, like, I would rather go outside and play in the pool... You know, because my grandparents' neighbors had a pool and an Atari or a Coleco or some shit. And I was like, yeah, whatever. I had an Atari 2600, this thing blows, but I still played it. I still had it in my house. I still was up early Saturday morning before cartoon time.
Well, you had to.
You know, exactly. Right? Turn it on, make sure the volume's all low, you know.
It was like my grandma's 2600. Yeah, it sucked. But damn if I wasn't going to play video games.
Exactly. It's just like that was the thing to do. Now, I remember... getting a Sega Master System. And this is when everybody had a Nintendo. So everybody I knew, it seemed like, had a damn Nintendo Entertainment System. And I never saw anything that was too impressive. This was years later. I mean, I must have been like 6 or 7 now, probably, right? And I remember seeing this thing and going, well, you know, video games just aren't very good. They're simply not very good. So I was really into watching Transformers, GoBots on TV, you know. I was really big into that for a long time, playing with He-Man, you know, that was the shit. And then we got, somehow, And I think it was my stepdad that, for some reason, thought it would be a cool idea. Like, he must have seen a Nintendo at his buddy's house or something. Because I know that, like, his best friend, like, that kind of made them family friends, because it was, like, my stepdad's, like, best friend. Like, their whole family. They had a Nintendo. And I think that somehow he saw that, you know, and thought maybe my kids, you know, or, well, her kids will like it, you know. So we got a Sega Master System. At the time, I was like, well, this is kind of neat. We had like, four games for it. And the one I remember the most that really, really messed me up was OutRun. Now, I've told this story before, okay, but I'm going to tell it again. Because this was the moment. This was it for me. This is where it happened. You know, this is the moment. We played the friggin' OutRun on the Sega Master System day in and day out for weeks upon getting this thing. I mean, we had other games, but they just didn't do it for us, like OutRun did, you know. We even had one of the, I had one of the super, or the 3D games that, like, would vibrate, the screen was red and blue and would kind of shake if you didn't have the glasses, and we never had the glasses, so we just had to kind of shoot and pretend it was 3D, you know. But, it was Missile Defense 3D, holy shit. But, OutRun, so, we would play this, and I sucked because I could not get out of first gear. I physically could take the car into high gear, right? You had low and high. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't handle the speed, so I would wreck. So I would play it safe and drive in low gear all the time. And my stepdad and my sister could get into high gear and maintain control a little bit better than I could, and they could always get to, like, a third level. I never saw past the second level, you know, because you have to go fast. Right. You know, it's a racing game. One night, I was dreaming about it. I had this very, very vivid dream of how the game ended even. Blew my mind, because I was tripping. I was like, what the hell? I've never seen the end of this before. I don't know what it's like. I suck at this game. But I woke up, and I absolutely had to play. Before Ghostbusters, I was hooked on Ghostbusters. That game is the bomb on the Sega Master System. So I woke up, you know, it's early Saturday morning. I threw in OutRun, fired it up, and I shit you not, I went one round. You know, it's not like I had to continue. I didn't have to try again. First time through, I beat it. Turned it on, and it was like I was locked in. It was as if there was some higher power controlling me, you know? And then it took me to the end, and it was almost exactly like a dream. And it was so freaky, but I always thought there was something to that. You know, like this is it. This is what you're supposed to do.
This is the point in your life.
This is it. And that's, and since
you're calling, man.
It is. It is. And since that moment, it has been the point of my life. Because there's something else out there for me. I'm convinced of this. I've seen a lot of stuff, and I've done a lot of stuff, and I'll tell you, nothing even remotely interests me. Nothing is half as cool as this you know, hobby of ours. Nothing is, you know? So that was like my moment. That was OutRun, whatever the hell that was.
Did you ever have California Games?
No, I didn't have it, but yeah, that's the name of it. We had a lot of fucking games for that. Dude, Choplifter. We had this Aztec Adventure game.
Oh, Choplifter was fun.
Dude, Choplifter was bad.
I love Lanny on the guys killing him.
Mm-hmm. I used to like to fly backwards.
That was fun.
I would fly backwards at the middle of the screen just to see how long I could go without blowing up. Because you can, like, you know how it's like, you don't want to be at the top of the screen. You don't want to be in the bottom because you'll crash. If you're at the top, a lot of jets fly by and blow you up. And I used to just try to see if I could just hover in the middle of the screen, flying backwards, though. So you're right up against the edge of the screen going backwards. You can't see what's coming. That was a freaking blast to me. And it was practice for, like, the third or fourth level where you have to go into that cave where you can't touch the ceiling or the ground. Oh, I used to always die there. And then one time I finally beat it, and it's like the next level, like, it repeats. It starts over again. Oh, so mad. Dude, we had Transbot. That was another one. Dude, I played the shit out of that game. Turns out, it just starts over at the beginning. It's like, man, I busted my F-16 Fighting Falcon. The only sound tries to simulate you're in an airplane.
Right.
Occasionally, you hear like a missile lock on. Ding. That game was horrible. But the other game of all the games we played, My Hero. Fucking, we played game after game after game. My neighbor, right next door, this guy Alex from Russia. Had a Sega Master System also. Fantasy Zone, we had a zillion, was one of the best games I've ever played, and probably just barely missed the mark on this, making this list. Probably. I would say, dude, you had no saves, you were in this huge underground fucking cave, or like maze thing that was built, you know, it was like an anime style too, it was crazy. It was just fucking awesome. No way to save, and it would take like 3 to 5 hours to beat. It was just intense, and I beat that game like 3 or 4 times. You couldn't save it, I mean, you just had to play. But it wasn't as big as Alex Kidd in Miracle World. Anybody played this?
I think so, although I think I had a Sega Genesis version.
Quite possibly, but that sucked ass. They all sucked except for this one. There was like three on the,
I liked it. It had like a rice cake or something you ate at the end.
I don't know. I do this. I tried to play all the other Alex Kidd and they were all horrible. You had Alex Kidd in Shinobi World, Alex Kidd in High Tech World, Alex Kidd in the Enchanted Castle, which was probably the Genesis one or the arcade one. But I tell you what, they had nothing on Alex Kidd in Miracle World. Nothing on this. Seriously.
I don't know. I might have had that one because I had one of those. My Genesis had this
thing
that knocked on top and I could play a Master System.
Okay, yeah. I remember that.
So I don't remember which one.
I just had this flashback. Are you sure he wasn't drinking like a mug of beer or something? Because at the end of the level and it shows like the map, and it shows like a map, and it shows Alex Kidd sitting there, and he's like, looks like he's mowing down on a rice cake, but I think it's a beer. I swear to God, it's not a rice ball.
I thought it was like, it's like a triangle with a little black thing.
Hell if I know. But you know what? I've got it here. We'll have to check it out in a minute just to see. Because that game is it's probably the same game. It is the bomb. That game, okay, Mario could not hold a candle to Alex Kidd. All my friends are playing Super Mario Brothers, you know? Did you have a Nintendo, Ode?
Yeah, just for a little while.
Just for a little, what did you have?
Mario Brothers, Zelda, Prince of Persia.
At least you had some good ones.
Yeah.
I had a lot of I had Muscle Rustling. I had a lot of shitty Hideline, or whatever that was called.
I think that was it, though. We didn't have much. Had a 4 back then, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean,
Duck Hunt.
You know, Duck Hunt playing. Well, what was it?
Oh, I had Duck Hunt.
Track and Field.
My friend used to sit there an inch from the screen popping
that's
it up.
That's cheap ass shit.
I'm like, what the hell are you doing? That's just wasting time.
Man. Yeah, no kidding. What's the point of that? But I'll tell you what, Alex Kidd in Miracle World, because you look at Mario. What does Mario have? Mario has, he can jump. Okay? Alex Kidd can jump. Mm-hmm. He's got fireballs. Okay, Alex Kidd had power-ups that you can carry with you and use when you wanted to. Okay, that was like infinitely cooler to me to have like an inventory item than to just find a flower, right? Mario had coins that you could pop out of blocks, but Alex Kidd had money that you could buy shit with. Shit that you wanted, you know? For transportation, Mario could swim. For transportation, Alex Kidd could not only swim, he had a motorcycle and a helicopter.
Yeah.
You know? How awesome was this game? And the helicopter could shoot. And the motorcycle could run over the scorpion dudes. And the frog guys, right? And it could jump hella high and go hella fast.
God.
You know? It was the bomb, okay? And what did you have? What did Mario have for bosses? You had the same boss for 8 levels, okay?
Bowser
that would do the same shit. Now, Alex Kidd only had 3. He had the paper dude, the rock dude, and the scissors dude. But you fought him differently every time. It was a different game. You know, like it was rock, paper, scissors, and it wasn't the same combination each fight. At least it was different each fight. Kind of.
That's right. Was the rock, paper, scissors thing in the other ones?
Yeah, because it's kind of a big part of the series. I'm pretty sure it must have been. I didn't play the other ones all the way through. I couldn't stand the other ones. I tried them for like maybe a half an hour each. Shinobi, High Tech, and the Enchanted Castle, and they're crap. They have nothing. I bet you played the good one. You must have played. Was the starting screen yellow, and it would flash like a lightning bolt, and it had that Jenkin dude up there, the big robot-looking dude.
Yeah.
I know you played this one. This is the good one, then. This is the one that kicked ass. Alex Kidd in Miracle World.
Whichever one it was, I liked it quite a bit.
It had to have been this one. It had it. And you could get that staff that made you float.
Yeah.
See? God damn it. This was the fucking game. You could even buy invincibility stuff. Oh, my God. Ben, do you remember little A and little B? You could throw the little A out. Little Alexis would come running out and attack the enemies. Do you remember that thing? It was an A or the B. You had like a little round ball. That one's kind of obscure. Oh my fucking God, I want to play this game.
I have trouble remembering it.
This game was the ball. Okay, do you remember that there was like a question? Okay, you had like a treasure box, and every third time it would be a ghost, or a power ring, or a fucking extra man.
Right.
Right, you'd hit the one, the first time it's the power ring that you carry around that allows you to shoot, like a fireball.
Mm-hmm.
The second time around, it's the ghost. Right, that little purple thing that pops up, you gotta jam the fuck off the screen.
Yeah.
That's the one. And then the third time, it's always an extra man. Then it starts back over with a ring. And you wanna keep the order up because you wanna keep getting extra men to come around and the rings to come around.
Right.
Dude, this game is the shit. And to this day, do you remember fighting the ram that would run at you and you had to punch as fast as you can, and you'd hit him in the face and you'd knock him back and he'd charge you again and pow! You remember that part? It was a little bit later. I don't know how far you got, but I used to play this fucking game every waking moment of my life. This game, it didn't get any better than this, and it still didn't for a long, not until Mario 3 that I feel that this game was out of.
Cool.
Seriously. I'm just trying to remember, because I remember a lot of the things you're saying, but it was just so long ago.
It had to be that game. I remember having to write this shit down, too. Okay, the first combination to win the boss battle is this, you know, paper and then rock, and, you know, and you could beat him every time, but I was a moron. I keep losing the piece of paper, you know, and I can never remember. It was always such a hassle, and I don't think I ever beat it back then, but maybe once, because I did play a ROM the other day, not the other day, a couple months ago, and I beat it. And it looked awfully familiar to me at the end. So, I figure I did beat it at one point and forgot. It's probably when I stopped playing. But, dude, that game owned me. And I didn't see anything better, I thought, as far as, like, a regular platformer. Probably until Mario 3. We all haven't played Zelda.
Damn, not the original one.
Now, so what did you think of Legend of Zelda, Ode?
Oh, Zelda was awesome. I spent forever on that game. The thing with that Zelda is, like, once I beat it, though, I was done with it. I just liked the fact I could run around and do all this stuff, and he had all these cool gadgets. You know, he had the fairies, he'd pop out, and they, you know, like, I loved being able to trap, you know, flies in jars with the net and stuff.
No. Wrong
game. Oh, you're talking the original Nintendo?
Yeah.
Oh, that was fun, too. But
that was fun, too.
No, it was all good. I mean, like, back then, that was about the same time I was trapped in my Magic 3, just, like, doing my thing.
Oh, okay, yeah, you're right, that's right.
I seriously, like, every rendition of my Magic, the game's gotten shorter. Like, the first one, I heard of the playtime, it was just ridiculous.
Dude, did you ever play 9, the last one?
No.
I beat that fucking game in 5 days, and I did everything.
Yeah, it took me a year. I mean, I played the game so long, your guys aged in the game, right?
I remember
in my
that.
Metric, your guys aged.
I remember that, totally. Because you and I were playing at the same time, and I got stuck and just quit.
And my guys got to the point, they were level like 70 or 80 or something, and the ones that weren't Elven were starting to get old and start to die.
Jesus Christ.
Like, they were losing health, and, like, you know, they eventually got to the point where they were basically dead. And I was to the point where I almost couldn't beat the game because my guys were aging to death.
Yeah,
that kind of sucks. It's a cool feature. I don't think it's cool that they actually got decrepit.
I don't know.
Well, you know what's really funny about that? Like, right after that, I just happened to stumble on the Fountain of Youth.
Nice.
And what was really funny about it is, like, you go to your starting town, and when you start the game, you have no way to cross water, right?
Yeah.
But, like, later on, you're going all over the
place. Oh, yeah, you can fucking fly.
Yeah, you're, like, floating all over the place. Well, it literally was, like, not, it was in the same zone as your hometown, your first starting.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. It's like right there. There's like this whole waterway, and I just never bothered to look at it.
How fucked up is that?
And there was nowhere to look it up. I just stumbled on it. I was just walking along. I'm like, what the fuck is this? And yeah. I had already, like, retired a couple of people, thrown them in the inn, and hired on new people that was training up.
Damn.
Oh, and I went back, got my old people back, and got them all fixed up, and I was all good to go again.
That is awesome. I remember you playing that, too. I remember you playing the holy hell out of that game. Damn. You had the same cracked one that I had, too, didn't you?
Yep.
It would ask for the password, you just enter anything, hit enter. didn't we have something to patch that, though? Was that the one that we had to use that patcher thing for?
I don't remember. It was so many years, dude.
And they had like 150 games that it would crack or something. That was awesome.
You were playing My Magic 2 for a while on the Genesis, right?
Yeah, See, we're getting too far ahead, though, because, man, The Legend of Zelda. Hold on. I remember I was in elementary school. My buddy, Jay Lee, this guy lived right at school, like behind him. Like, his house was like the property line of the school ended, and his house began. And I remember hooking up with this guy somehow, you know, we were all kind of like geeks, you know, even in elementary school, you know, I fell in with the crowd of nerds, it was awesome, you know. I don't know how we all met, but I had this buddy, Jassy Mahal, this Indian guy who had fucking Phantasy Star, and I couldn't handle it, right? I couldn't handle Phantasy Star 1 on the Sega Master System. It was just over my head. I just couldn't, I don't think any of us really knew what it was, and we knew it was a fat game, but we couldn't handle it. But when I met that guy, Jay, and we were hanging out with this other guy, Craig, and this other guy, Doug. And these guys played Nintendo games. And I remember seeing fucking The Legend of Zelda for the first time. And it's like, you know, the game itself impresses, but before you see the game, what do you see? The cart. You see the cartridge.
Mm-hmm.
A gold cartridge. And you're just like, holy fucking shit, you know, I've never seen anything like this in my life.
Yeah, like a little bit of paint is really all that, but still.
Yeah, it doesn't, but I mean, you know, you got, I mean, okay, even today, I'm impressed with a gold cart, you know? Even today, I wanted the NES Classics Game Boy Advance version of Legend of Zelda to be gold, and I was highly disappointed that it wasn't.
Yeah, I don't quite understand why.
I don't either, but, you know, fuck Nintendo, they're being stupid, okay? I don't understand it, whatever, but, you know, it's still impressive. And when I fired that game up, and I watched my, he goes, you gotta check this out. Man, I was open to a new world, you know? This was like the first thing I'd seen that was like that at all. I'd never seen anything like that where you could just wander around and just, I mean, endlessly and do whatever you wanted, occasionally stumble across a secret cave. We used to have to bomb every single wall just to see what we could find. And you wanted to. Because, God, nobody knows what's out there. Let's go find it. You know, you didn't have a player's guide. You didn't have a fucking walkthrough.
Oh, not it. People look up everything.
You didn't have a goddamn internet. Look at this. Right here. I can't believe I have this sitting here. I have a printed out map of the overworld of the fucking Legend of Zelda sitting on top of my desk that has been here for months now. Right? This is how fucking lame gaming is today. Oh, I fucking can't find the second level. I popped up the internet, printed out a list, or not list, the fucking map, you know, and then was like, oh yeah, it's, you know, I didn't go over one screen far enough, okay? But I didn't use it to cheat. As you can see, I made little notes. Because as I was playing through this, I had to remember where all this crap was. So this is the store, this guy takes your money, you know? But it's like, I remember as a kid, we didn't have anything like this at all. And it was like, we were writing down fucking, you know, two screens over from the square lake in the center, near the fucking bush with shaped like a fucking octagon, you know, you burn it. And there's a staircase underneath it. You know, and it's like you would have to burn every single bush. And me and my friends would take all of our you have rupees, and it capped at 255 rupees. So you would farm for money. You would go out and you'd kill shit so you got max money. Then you would buy bombs. And you would bomb every fucking wall. And you'd go load up on bombs again and then go find another screen and bomb every fucking wall. And it was just like, and you wanted to. You didn't have to, because you weren't stuck, you weren't hindered, but you wanted to. You wanted to find that last heart container. You wanted to find the gambling place, because you needed money, you know?
This is the problem with today's MMOs. You play these massively multiplayer games online, and you can just look everything up. Back then, we actually had to sit there and figure it out, you know, and I kind of liked that.
Me too. It was a lot more fun than this shit. You know, okay, there's a waterfall in The Legend of Zelda that you can walk behind. You know? Wow, holy fucking shit. Like, not only do you expect that, but you could do it. You know, right there, you see the waterfall?
Yeah.
It's not black like that. It's only black on the map. But right. When you're playing the game, it's a waterfall right there. And if you try to walk through it, you pass into it. And the lady tells you something, whatever. You know, but it's like, you had to go find all this shit yourself. That's a good point, Ode, because you remember, you were talking about the other Zelda, the third one, right? Link to the Past?
Yeah.
What was the deal with the, okay, that's a fun game. But I didn't like it nearly as much as this one.
Really?
And do you know why?
Why?
Just like Ode said, once he was done with it, once he beat it, it was over. Once you beat A Link to the Past, you're really done unless you feel like doing the exact same thing over again.
Hell no, I beat that game like four times.
So have I, and I had it on my Game Boy Advance a little bit ago. But, what was the deal with bombing walls?
Boy, there was cracks.
There was cracks in the wall. You knew where to bomb. And this shit? Dude, you had no fucking idea. You had to just bomb every wall. You had to, because you wanted to, though. You wanted to. It took a lot of the mystery and a lot of the fun out of Zelda when you could do that. I would push every block in this game to see if I could push it and find a staircase underneath it. I would burn every bush I could find trying to find a staircase. That, you know, because there's staircases underneath all this crap. You go down there and you find shit. Listen to me explaining how Zelda works the Cobra.
I just remember playing Doom Runner, just wall hugging the wall if I fall through.
What?
Remember playing Doom? You know, you just go to every room, you wall hug every single wall in every single room, and you fall through.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just gotta get to a secret area, you know?
Uh-huh, because you want to know.
You hit the space bar something.
You hit space bar, yeah.
Tap the space
bar. Exactly. You hit your activate key so you would open the secret room. I mean, but you wanted to find this shit out. You wanted to know. You cared. You know, and that's what I think we lost then.
And along that line, even worse in Ocarina of Time, you get that rumble pack and
oh, Jesus,
thing.
It totally fucking cheats for you.
And it starts rumbling for you when you get close to it.
Yeah, see, you knew. It took the adventure out of the adventure of Link. You know what I mean? Like, it just took you out of the adventure of this adventure game. Don't get me started on Zelda 2, because I didn't care for it so much. It was still a decent game, but it's not what anybody wanted. everybody wanted The Legend of Zelda 2. You know, not fucking what we got. But whatever. And a lot of people, some people liked it, you know. I think Hunter loved it, but, you know, hey, it was a fun game. I played it. I had it. But whatever. But it wasn't Zelda. I lived in Hyrule. I was Link, you know, when I played that game. I was out there in the forest, you know. Right? Bionic Commando had to have been the next big, like, side-scrolling game that I played, right, from Alex Kidd, I guess, if it wasn't Mario 3, because Mario 3 was good. You know, I remember watching The Wizard. Seen that movie? The Wizard with Fred Savage?
Yeah.
Yeah. You remember that, Ode?
Yeah.
The Wizard, and he goes to the big tournament and shit, and you're like, oh my god, the world hasn't seen fucking Super Mario Bros. 3 yet, and I'm seeing it in this movie. Oh my god, I know what I want for Christmas, Mom!
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you got excited. You got your blood fucking pumping when you saw this, you know? And it was great. And when we played it, it was beautiful. It was fucking fantastic. But it wasn't, that's probably a top 10 game, but not a life-altering game for me. But a life-altering game, I think, was Bionic Commando. And the reason why Bionic Commando, this was a Nintendo game still, guys, so those of you who are trying to follow us here, the reason Bionic Commando was like a life-altering game to me, my buddy Zeb, he had Super Sprint. Everybody knows Super Sprint? You know, you got the red, the green, the blue, and the green, blue, red, yellow race car, and it's an arcade game with three players.
Okay.
You guys, Jesus Christ. Okay.
I've never played it, but...
Okay, yeah, it's a race car game. Anyway, they made it for the Nintendo, and my buddy Zeb, he traded it to a buddy of his, this guy Nick, who had this game called Bionic Commando that he couldn't figure out. And he was stuck with it. His buddy liked Super Sprint too much, right? Because it's easy. You hold the gas and you drive. You pick up golden wrenches and you get... Well, that's beside... Anyway, Bionic Commando. So he couldn't figure this game out. And, I started hanging out with this guy. We used to collect baseball cards and stuff and play a lot of Nintendo games. And he said, you know what? I've got this game that I can't figure out. And if there's anybody who can figure this game out, it's got to be you. So borrow this game from me. And back then, trading a game was like, or borrowing a game was like a swap thing.
Yeah.
You know, like it wasn't just here, just fucking take this game and play it. It was like, well, if I'm giving you Punch-Out, you're giving me fucking Top Gun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm taking Baseball Stars if you're taking fucking Super Punch-Out from me, you know?
Yeah.
He just was all, just take it, because I can't handle it, I can't figure it out. So now it was like a mission. You know, I was like, oh man, I got no manual. I don't even have the black slipcase that this game goes in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Here I am, fresh game, let's check this out. So I fire it up, you know? The first thing I noticed, military game. Whatever, that doesn't go over too well with me, but it seems, you know, you got military dudes talking to you. But then I realized that you're like a special agent with like these weird powers. You can't jump. Seems kind of gimpy. But you've got an arm that shoots out that you can latch onto shit and swing from. And now, you know, when I'm looking at a game like Mega Man, and a lot of people were playing that, I think at the time, 1, 2, or 3, whatever the fuck, I couldn't get into it. I didn't like the way he jumped. I didn't like his powers. I didn't like the way his powers worked either.
I wasn't a big fan of how Mega Man controlled either.
Yeah, it was kind of weak. I don't know. What did you think of that, Ode?
I didn't play much Mega Man. I think I played it once and just didn't have enough time to really get into it.
Well, I mean, it's a good game. It's really popular. I don't know. It didn't do it for me. But the first time I fired a Bionic Commando and realized that I had this bionic arm thing that I could shoot out, latch on to random shit, it seemed like, almost anything, though, and swing. You know, was like, holy shit, that's kind of neat. This adds a whole new dynamic to the game when I run into a rock that I can't just jump over.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta find a way to get up and over this rock. You know, and it's not always as simple as standing in front of it, latching onto it, and swinging. Your chain arm thing functioned in multiple ways. You could shoot straight up in the air and, like, lift yourself up so you could perch yourself in the sky and blast dudes and then drop down. Or you could be, like, you could angle the pad forward, shoot it at an angle, and then he would, like, swing, whoosh. And you can, and then I found out you could, like, go through things. And then I found out you could knock dudes over, and then I found out that you could shoot it again before you hit the ground. And I was motherfucking Spider-Man. It became all about never touching the floor. It was just the most awesome thing I've ever seen, because, you, and all you hear is, whoosh-chink, 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 and you could get across whole fucking zones, whole levels, just fucking, and you could see that they set the game up so that you could still play it if you sucked ass with it, you know, and still have some moderate difficulty, but if you were the fucking man, you could get to some crazy places, you know, and they set it up that way.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, if you were just that handy on the controls, that you could fucking you'd go up this little tiny ramp that you wouldn't think anybody could ever get up, but once you were the master to do this game, blew my fucking mind. And sure enough, I mean, it probably didn't take me but a few days. I mean, if that, if not a couple of hours. I mean, it didn't seem to take me very long. I ended up beating, finding all these secret things and all the different guns. You even had inventory. You know, and you would have like this map that you'd pick. I want mission one. You go to map one. Oh, it's a town. Oh, I talk to people in town. Okay, they're looking for this. And then I go to mission two on the map, you know, and it would be like a war zone, and I'd have to go through it, and there was little, to open the doors, I'd have to find communications towers and talk to people and shit to open the doors, and I could spy on people, and if I was caught spying on the enemy, they would rush you. I mean, it was just fucking...
It was like a pretty in-depth game for being a side-scroller back then.
It was, and it blew my... I mean, that's why it was just like, wow, you know, that was impressive. He let me keep it. He said, man, I can't fucking handle this game, you keep it.
Nice.
Same guy let me borrow Jaws. If you ever played that on the Nintendo, horrible game. Could never beat it. At the very end, you gotta stab your boat, you gotta like thrust the boat and stick Jaws, and he couldn't do it. He played for hours. Could never do it. You only get three chances, then you start over, basically. Ugh. Yeah. What it is, you'll see Jaws out in the distance, and your first person view on your boat, kinda, and your Jaws will come up to you, and then he'll splash out of the water. And at the right second, you gotta hit the button, and your boat lunges forward, but they clearly rig it. Like, once you see the animation, it's too late. You know? So you figure that out after three or four, you know, rounds. And finally, I was able to beat him. He was just like, God damn you, you know. But I'm taking it. He liked that game enough that he took it back. But, you know, I didn't want that one anyway because I had fucking Bada Commando. And I had Baseball Stars, which to this day is the only sports game that I can still tolerate. And I know why now. Our last show, we had Hooks here, right?
Yeah.
We talked about all these different sports games. And I know what it is now about Baseball Stars that made it the greatest sports game I've ever played. It's not a, okay, the game is simple. You can make it, the cool part for me is making your own team and being intimately familiar with each player. Turns out.
You intimate with your players?
Yeah, right. You know what I mean, like their stats and shit, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, and you can buy, you know, you save money and you can buy like a star player, then you put points into who you know, who needs it more. The guy that bats fourth, you want to be your power hitter so he can hit that grand slam. You know what I'm saying? You build your team. And I know what it is about this game now that makes it so great. It's not just building the team. It puts sports fanatics and sports idiots like myself on the same fucking playing field. Yeah. Because I can pick up any sports game past then, and I will lose. Why? Because I do not know who to pick. You know, Hooks will sit here and be like, oh, I want, fuck, I don't even know what to do. I want Griffey, I want, you know, McGuire, Giambi, and I'm like, I want the tall guy.
With the fro.
With the fro, yeah. I want the guy whose name's Ass Kicker, and I want the guy with the cool-looking shoes. You know, see, and that's why I don't like today's sports games. They're all based on prior knowledge of the sport and the players. There is no simple way to do it. If they have real players in there, there's no way. This is a stripped-down game where all the players are equal and it comes down to player skill, not player knowledge of the sport. Mm-hmm. And Baseball Stars blew my mind so many days. I stayed up at night cheating my ass off. You could play two players, and as long as your team won the game, you got the prize money. So I play two players, take my fucking team, you know, beat my ass, and take all that winnings. And you would have to play, like, 10 baseball games, which took forever. 9 innings to beat yourself, you know, and you're just pitching, you're just striking them out, you know. I mean, but it takes a long time. You had to play, like, 10 games to get enough money to buy one star player. And you had, like, 20 dudes. So you were trying to get star players for everything. Then you had to get money to put into their point, into their stats. Oh, my God, it was incredible, though. Best sports game ever. Ever. Blew my fucking mind. After that, though, I moved on to a lot of... did you have anything around that time?
Around...
Little Vikings, man. The three Vikings.
Oh, dude, the Lost... Okay, this is...
Perfect. The Lost Vikings.
The Lost Vikings.
Yeah, I had to go out and get that for the Game Boy Advance. I wanted to play it again.
Really? Nice.
And I went through the whole game again.
They had it on some Nintendo.
It was fun. It was really a well-done game.
How did that change your life, man?
I don't know. I mean,
you just brought it up. Oh, because I've been just kind of bringing games up, too. But.
Yeah, that's pretty much. I mean, not, like, these aren't, like, monumental games for you, you know, a lot of them. But they're just really fun games that you put a lot of hours into.
Yeah, this is the one, remember, you had the big dude with the shield. Yeah. You had the other guy that could jump, the other guy that could just kill things.
Right.
Yeah, the guy that's throwing a bow, another guy can just jump and slam things in his head. And
yeah. It was all about using him at different times and shit.
Yeah,
that was cool. That was pretty nifty.
Didn't just like use the big guy to throw the little guy.
Yeah, holy shit.
Remember Warcraft 1?
See, now I didn't play
that. I hated that game.
I never liked strategy games until I played it.
See, I didn't like Warcraft 1 either.
I played the hell out of Warcraft 1. I loved it.
Was that on your list?
Yep.
Okay, go ahead then, because the next ones I've got are Barren Realms Elite Wolfenstein, and Kobar has...
Does it start up again?
You want the game that probably affected my life more than any other game?
You're going to say Usurper.
Nope.
No. Shadowdale.
Yes. Goddamn Shadowdale.
No, wait. But that's not till way later, though. That's not till after Doom.
That was 3 years of my life right there.
Okay, wait, but we don't want to jump too far ahead, because I remember you were part of the SRE-BRE crowd.
Yeah, I was part of that, too.
Okay, but wait, what else?
I got to level 98 in Usurper, too.
Jesus Christ. See, I didn't care for Usurper. I didn't care for Lord. You know what I played? I played Murder Motel.
That's fun, too. I remember we played that a bit.
Yeah, I mapped out the fucking motel, and I would go stalk from room to room with my Armalade carbine gas-powered.
Bumping round after round.
And your co-workers.
Only co-workers.
Hell yeah, that was the bomb, dude. And you know what? Dude, murdermotel.com.
Oh, shit, it's up.
Yep, it's the shit, dude. I gotta get into that. I gotta get back into that shit. But, okay, Warcraft. I didn't play Warcraft 1, dude.
Okay. So if you played it when it first came out, it was awesome.
See, I didn't play it when it first came out.
I played it after I played Warcraft 2.
Same here.
I played the demo, and it came on a PC Gamer CD, the demo, and I played that. And then,
you had a fucking CD-ROM back then,
and I just grabbed a copy and played that.
Wait. You had a CD-ROM back then?
Yeah.
I fucking hate you.
my first CD-ROM game was Myst.
This is kind of far back after that, but I mean, it was just awesome. Like, you had little wizards against some scorpions and shit. And just the fact, it was just the real-time strategy environment was like, okay, this is cool, you know? You're sitting there clicking on guys and saying funny things. All this,
yeah.
Just, you know, this is archetypal now, but it's like, back then it was like, oh, whoa, what's this, you know?
The whole road thing pissed the hell out of me.
Yeah, the roads sucked.
Oh, you could build a town in Warcraft 1? You actually had... You had the roads.
Yeah, I remember because I played it and I couldn't stand it because it was after I played the Warcraft 2 Alpha, which was like the coolest game I'd ever seen.
Warcraft 2 was
awesome. If you're going to go out and play Warcraft 2 before playing Warcraft 2,
yeah, exactly.
You're not going to like Warcraft 1.
That's exactly what happened. It was just bad timing. I'd never heard of Warcraft, you know.
But as awesome as Warcraft 3 is, I can still go back and play Warcraft 2.
Same here.
Those different games.
Well, they got a lot of things in Warcraft. You know what? I probably couldn't because the controls of Warcraft 2 blow compared to the controls of Warcraft 3.
Yeah, and I love Warcraft 3, too.
Warcraft 3's controls are fucking mind-blowing, dude. It's like an extension of your hand. You can activate all 108 keys on your keyboard.
I played the whole thing up. Warcraft 1, I mean, if we're just talking about life-changing, Warcraft 1 and Warcraft 3 were both life-changing.
I was going to say, you better have Warcraft 3 on your list, but we'll get there when we get there.
Yeah, Warcraft 2 and StarCraft were just fun games that I played.
Yeah. They were just bumps in the road. Because, see, Warcraft 2 didn't blow my mind either. It was great, but the alpha was better than the full game.
Warcraft 2 is on my list.
Oh, yeah, they had extra resources.
Because you had ore.
Yeah.
You had ore, dude. You could mine fucking ore, the alpha of that. And to me, see, there's not one real-time strategy game on my list. And that's because they're not my high-priority type. I like turn-based strategy. So that's why there's not one of these games on my list. But if there was one, I'd say clear far and away, the best has got to be Warcraft 3. That's only today. Before that, it had to be Warcraft 2. I did not care too much for StarCraft. But Warcraft 2 is on Kobar's list, so...
Oh, you know, Warcraft you get together 2, and play Age of Empires all the time.
Warcraft 2 and Descent 2 are on my list because
Descent?
I had Descent. Yeah, not necessarily because of the game
that they are. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But I'm sitting there in school, and me and a couple of my friends figure out that these are on the school's servers, these games, and the teacher was kind of lazy and would just sit back and just kind of looked over the class, make sure we weren't like punching each other in the arm or anything. This is middle school after all, but so we're just digging around inside the server, and we find this director that has these games. So we're sitting there, all computer class, all the time, sitting there playing these games. And it was at that point that I realized the games were more important than education, more important than anything. Games were where it was at.
When was that moment for you? Oh.
I don't know. I mean, I just always liked games.
Since
I played Kung Fu, I was just like, oh, games are awesome, you know?
See, because I have that defining moment with Outrun where I knew, you know, this is my path, you know? This is the path that was chosen for me. And hey, thank God, you know, I'm not a hairdresser or something.
Playing Shadow, though.
I know poor bastards playing Star Wars Galaxies who got a bad lot on the fucking cosmeticists or whatever they are.
It basically, for people who don't know what a MUD is.
Multi-user dungeon. This was like before MMORPG.
Is that what it stands for?
Yeah.
Multi-user dungeon, yeah.
I knew what it is, but I...
MMOing.
This
yeah,
text-based MMO. Yeah. This is fucking whatever with no graphics. This is back in the...
I used to love those.
Shit, yeah. Back in the BBS
Open the
days.
Door.
Yeah.
I logged in, and I'm not exaggerating. I'm not kidding. I logged in 6 months of playtime.
6 months of playtime. And then, now listen to this. I have 85 days on Final Fantasy XI already. So I know exactly where you're coming from.
I had a level 50 warrior cleric. I had a level 50 warrior mage cleric. I had a god. If you get a guy level 50 and you get 2 million experience past that, which takes forever.
Jesus.
Like 200 million experience. It took me almost 3 months of camping just to get enough experience to become a god.
Damn.
You can actually make zones in the game. You can actually
You made one too. I looked up Shadowdale online and you made one.
Yeah.
He made a zone for this game.
Yeah, the town of Trinity. I had another zone I was working on but I never finished.
That was incredible.
The town of Trinity I did finish.
You know, you were playing this game like when I was gone, right? For the most part.
Yeah.
So during that whole time, but before that, I mean, because that was all after. That was all after. Think about, okay, Doom. Do you remember the story that you and I had about Doom?
Uh-oh. Yeah, yeah.
We'll just stop it. Do you remember this? Okay, explain. Okay, I don't think we've told this story before.
Oh, when I first played it?
Yeah, but remember, it was way before we even heard about it, the rest of us.
Yeah, I was actually interning at a game development company, Talon Software Productions. And they had gotten a pre-release copy that just, you know, basically it was pre-demo copy that was just sent out to all the game developers out there because they're trying to sell the engine. And so basically, if you're a professional game developer, you can get your hands on this. And, you know, there really wasn't internet back then or anything. I mean, it was all kind of just, I mean, it was, you could get all technical, but nobody was on it.
Yeah.
And just the universities. And, like, I actually went in and started playing Doom, and I was just blown away. I was like, oh my god, this is so awesome. So I'm sitting there with, like, a stack of floppy just trying to copy it on the computer, because the company was actually shutting down the day I got to check it out, so I'm sitting there with a stack of floppy just trying to copy it.
Oh, that's
Boss walks over to me and says, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm copying something. He's like, that's proprietary data. You can't copy that stuff. I'm like, what is this? And he was like, all right, fine. And I got the stuff together, and for some reason, I couldn't piece it back together and make it work.
Oh.
And 6 months later, you called me up to say, dude, I saw this game.
No, wait. You're forgetting the best part. Told me about it.
Yeah, yeah.
You told me about it, because you told us all, and you were like, dude, oh my god, I can't remember the name of this game, but holy fucking shit.
Yeah.
And I totally remember going, yeah, whatever, dude.
It just blew me off.
Totally.
Back, like 6 months later, saying, oh.
You gotta see this fucking game. And you know what? We had, I think it was, what, 0.99, and I remember getting it from Nat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And right. He brought it to...
Was it the guy that, the son of the cop, what was his name?
I don't remember. But he, I remember him bringing it to school and showed everybody that, and we were fucking floored. Just blown away. And you know what? I logged more time in that stupid game than anything for years after that. Doom. Everybody did. I mean, multiplayer gaming. You know, that was where you were blowing your friends up in 3D?
Yeah. I had an ad in the newspaper asking for people to deathmatch.
Yeah, because you could do it over a modem.
Yeah.
How awesome was that? I remember having people come over with their computers just so we could hook up with cereal. Is that what we would hook up with? Yeah, just to fucking blow each other up once in a while. And then you could download all those WADs. That was the first time I was just like, what the fuck is this?
Oh, yeah, I was the first one to turn down to that, too. I call you up and say, dude, I got a wad. Like, that's nice.
That's, yeah, I totally remember that, too, going, okay, dude.
You're like, no, that's what to think.
New levels. I mean, because at that point, though, at that point,
yeah,
like, we could play Doom on, like, the not the bullshit one where they respawn, but, like, Ultra Violence with our eyes closed. And beat it in, like, 45 minutes.
We could play with Nightmare, because Nightmare is just fucking bullshit.
Nightmare, exactly. But I remember, too, and then you're all, no, it's like a new level. And I was like, what? A new level? New challenges await me? And then it exploded.
Remember that one thing we got? I can't remember the name of it. It was
Wanted.
What?
The editor?
No. God, you make it one level takes months.
It wasn't that bad, though, dude. I was working on a fatty level.
There was one thing we got. It was basically a whole another 30 levels, and they changed all the weapons.
Oh. No. Hey, I know what it's called. Hold on. It's called Obituary.
That was it? Oh, my God. That was better than the original game.
It was. It had a flamethrower in it, for Christ's sake.
Replace the plasma gun with a flamethrower.
Dude, oh, my God. It was the best. And that right there, that's where it started. That's where that whole fucking first-person shooter and the mod scene, this is where it came from. Nobody did that shit with Wolfenstein.
That's when patches galore started, too.
That is. You're right. You never saw a patch for anything before that.
Yeah.
No way. And then Doom had what? 0.99, 1 point something, 1.6, 1.666, 1.81, 1.9, 1.9 Ultra, remember?
Yeah.
They had so much fucking bullshit, but before that, do you remember playing Wolfenstein? Single player.
It was my first FPS.
That was the first one I played too. And I remember playing, what else were we playing around the time of that? Don't you remember playing Jill the Jungle and fucking Solar Winds?
Oh, dude, I would sit there Jill the Jungle. I'd get her in a position where, you know, you could, like, kind of, you like, there were parts of her, and I'd just sit there and look at her. Stuff, yeah.
What was the other one? It was on the same engine as that, like, sort of an X or something. An Epic Pinball?
Tappet Sprite, you know, that was fair enough.
Oh, God, dude, that... Dude, Epic made the bomb. Dude, Solar Winds was so awesome back then.
Oh, that was awesome.
I though.
You get to the first one in no time, you know?
I don't know. It seemed, but it didn't matter. I enjoyed it, you know? I had a good time flying through space and playing StarCon and all that. And they were all great games. And then I played fucking Wolfenstein. And I was like, hey, this is cool. You know, I can blow shit up. And it was a lot of fun, but I still played the other games. And I'll tell you what, the point of me bringing up Wolfenstein was because this made my list for one reason. It was the first game I played on the PC with a sound card. Fucking amazing, because this is the first time I'd ever been scared. It was nuts. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. I got this Sound Blaster Pro in my hands. I have no idea how to set it up, no idea how it works, but I knew that I wanted to play Wolfenstein immediately. So I took the case off.
I used your sound card for like 3 years after you took that screwdriver.
Really?
Remember that?
Oh, I remember that. It was a good damn sound card. I slapped that fucker in my 386 SX20. I put my headphones on 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was literally creeped out. I mean, I was like nothing I'd ever. I mean, you'd hear the sound, whatever they'd say in German, dude, and I would jump 10 feet in the air. Holy shit, dude!
What pissed me off more than anything was I had a 286-10. And just because Doom used 386 instructions, I could not play Doom.
I remember that. And then you went out and got that 46 SLC-2.
Yeah.
I loved that thing because I could make fun of you guys later on.
It was $180, dude. Officer Board, how can you beat that?
Yeah, but when I got the DX2, it smoked you guys.
Oh, well, yeah, but I mean, yeah, you paid like $300 for just the motherboard. You know?
Yeah, it was quite a bit more, but it was so fat, though. The only time I got smoked was when you guys were playing Wing Commander with your fat video card, your Visa Local.
Yeah.
That was when I got owned, but that was before Doom. Because then we went back to playing Doom, and it ran better on my 46 DX266 than it did on the SLC2s, because you don't have a math co-processor for that. And it mattered more than a video card back then with our 128K. Dude, what do we have on a video card back then?
Oh, memory was small. In fact, I remember I had an old Triton video card that I actually sat there and I bought memory for the video card. There were these little chips you'd stick on there.
Yeah. And remember Bob?
Yeah, I got it from home.
Yeah, oh man, that guy was the shit, dude. I mean, he had the first video card I ever saw that was like burly.
I bought like memory chips from that guy for $8 each for my video card.
$8 each per... Click of rent of memory.
But each chip was like, I think I added 64K with each chip.
Yeah.
Back then, RAM was the most expensive thing you could buy for your system.
Yep.
$45 a megabyte.
But it was the shit, though.
$45 a megabyte. I remember like the price dropped like a rock at one point.
Yeah.
One point 16 megs was $100, and I was like, oh my god.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if we had to pay $45 a megabyte
now and needed as many as we needed now?
Yeah. Oh, I got a gigabyte in my machine. I could retire on that.
I know.
That'd be ridiculous. But oh my, what were we playing, dude? Don't you remember playing SimCity 2000 and Sim Earth? And god damn, we played a lot of cool games back then. Duke Nukem.
Oh, Duke Nukem. I love Tip and
Stripper. I forgot all about that. But
in the urinal.
But you know what? Duke Nukem 3D didn't blow my mind like Doom did, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it had some amazing shit, but it didn't make the list. It didn't make it because it wasn't...
I just like the end of the game where he says, I'm going to rip your head off.
And shit down your neck. That was the end of the second boss.
Then he does it, yeah.
That was the shit, you know? How fucking cool was that, dude?
Whips out a newspaper and he's like, alright!
Do you remember, around that same time, Baron Realms Elite, the BBS door games?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I don't know how... Okay, now I know a lot of people were involved in Legend of the Red Dragon, a lot of people were involved in Global War, a lot of people were wrapped up in Usurper, but remember the Solaria City games? Baron Realms Elite, Solo Realms Elite, Falcon's Eye, fucking Alpha Colony 6. Now, how into those were you?
Or something else. I mean, one thing that was interesting is we had Don Sparks and Gene Roddenberry?
Yeah. I ran into Don the other day. Just back when I was up there working at the Bilty before I left my trip.
Yeah.
Oh, I told you, okay.
Both those guys had bot characters, had like second characters, and so they would have like, they had some sort of scam worked out where they have like another character and they filter money through it somehow.
That's because you had the bank. Remember, if you had max investments, you would get that much money back every day? Could you imagine being able to spend that on military every day? 2 countries worth? That you could even attack yourself and take his planet?
We were always number one, but I remember at one point, I got so pissed off at one point, because we're sitting there, and we were on a link thing, where basically it was server against server against server, BBS against BBS.
They had the intra BBS thing, because remember, originally, Baron Realms Elite, wait, hold on, we gotta back up.
No, I gotta finish the story.
Though. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, I got really pissed off at him because at the time we were nuking everybody, and the gooey kablooey you'd send out.
Yeah.
And we basically had everyone, our nation was probably 5 times larger than the second highest nation.
That's because we were good.
We were killing everybody. And I said, look, you know, because we'd be beating these nations' asses. I'd be like, we got to crush them. We got to kill them. Take them out. I'd be like, no, we have a peace treaty now. You can't, the tank can't attack them. But they totally kept saying you can't attack these people. I'm like, dude,
yeah.
We can finish them off. So what happened was, and I knew this was going to happen, they all banded together against us. We had, I'm not kidding, 18 gooey kablooies hit all at once.
Oh.
Our nation was just, we were basically crushed. And they didn't stop. They didn't stop until our nations were zero.
See, these people don't understand war games.
No.
They don't understand, right? When we played, originally, you know how I found out about this game? I remember playing, it was in high school, and I was like in algebra class, obviously working real hard because I was talking to my buddy Rob, who was all, dude, you gotta check this game out. And the school had a BBS. And this was like right after I'd gotten my modem, or my first computer with that 2400 baud modem, I didn't know the numbers for the local BBSs yet. The doghouse was the only one around at the time. The Racer's Net wasn't up yet. I didn't know. And, my buddy Rob was like, dude, you gotta check this out. I think you would like it. You start your own little country, and you just, you just grow, build military, and attack other countries. And remember, it wasn't intra-BBS at first. Remember? It was simply you versus 24 people on that one bulletin board system. That was it. That was all. And it was fucking awesome because the guys ran a couple games on each system. So you could be playing all night long and you only had like 30 rounds. It was a turn-based. You only had like 30 turns a day. And man, those phone lines would light up at midnight. Because, you knew if you were the first guy on, you could make that first strike and crush some other asshole's empire, before he could log on and attack you first. Oh my god, dude, just the way that game played out was so amazing. And that's where that whole Hurricane thing was born. Because he told me, you got to come up with a name for yourself, you're the Emperor, you can come up with a name for your country. That's what you're going to be known as. So Wolf and I are trying to, we want to play these games, so we couldn't figure out what the hell to play. What are we going to call ourselves? We never had a game that you really, had a choice in the matter. You didn't get to name a whole country in most games. You played, you fired up your Link. You fired up your fucking Mario. You know, the occasional role-playing game, like, you know, Might and Magic, and you can make your own guys, and that was awesome, but never a whole country. So we put a lot of thought into it. Wolf, I remember, we were eating a box of cookies from Golden Phoenix Cookies. And we were sitting there one day, you know, like, or shortly after we learned about the game and we're getting ready to play, because we do our research, you know, we get into it before we get into it so that we know what we're doing.
Oh, yeah.
You don't walk in as a fucking noob to a multiplayer game. You get your ass handed to you, fucking laugh.
Now know as.
Right, yeah. So I spotted the Golden Phoenix on this cookie box and was like, Wolf, dude, check it out. He's like, oh, yeah, I did Golden Phoenix, right? So he was Golden Phoenix on the on that game forever, forever. Even on the newest one where they have it on the internet, it's like Java or some crap. He was, or at least for the longest time, he was Golden Phoenix. And I was really big into Street Fighter. Ryu's my man. I play that guy all the time. My favorite move is the Hurricane Kick. I've always had some kind of fascination with the weather system and the elements and stuff. That's where the Hurricane World... What was I called in that game? Hurricane Force Elite. That's where that was born. And then it became that I had multiple countries. And so I had to get bigger. So there had to be, like, a top tier. That was the world headquarters. And that's how that all started. And it's still stuff to this day that I use that for all this crap. It just got in my head that, okay, well, we got one guy who commands the whole thing, and he's got little forces. Each little force is part of the elite group, and each one has a commander. It was, like, nuts. And I used to go insane thinking about it. Because I was like, I mean, this none of this is in the game. It's all in my head. Then I'm starting to envision this place as like a real physical fucking place now. And I'm like, oh yeah, I got commanders and all this shit. They're like, dude, you're out of your fucking mind. You're fucking lost it, dude. I was like, oh man. I would log on before school just to check the stats of the game. And I would fucking write this shit down. I didn't have a printer. So I'd write down who was in what, right? And it had like a daily news thing, too, that would be like so-and-so empire attack so-and-so but lost. So-and-so sent a nuclear missile after whatever. This country found spies from this country and their country, right? Because it was deep. This game was involved, man. And I would write it all down. I would go to school. And when I got there, I had a little bit of time before class. And I would go to the library, and I would type up like a newsletter. And I would print out a couple copies of it and give it to all the dudes that played. So that they, because they didn't have time to log on in the morning. So they could all read the news and get all excited for the game. But, you know, I gotta get home and fucking play my turns, you know. Oh, dude, it was all about playing your turns. That game just owned me for so long, you know. Oh my, there was nothing like that. Baron Realms blew my fucking mind. And then, when they went intra BBS, when you would send the packet around, you know, then it went from just one board with 25 players to like 25 boards, or how many, what could you do?
Oh.
Was it 25 boards with 25 players each, or 255, or 254, or 250 boards with 25 players?
I don't remember, it was a lot. I mean, I think we had 18 BBS going together.
Whatever, but the max was huge, and eventually it got big for us. But whatever circuit we were on, we were good.
We were top notch until
time.
Every single one of them batted against us.
Yeah, all the time.
They were sick of us oppressing them from like day one.
The racers, net oppressors, dude. We were the bomb. We were good though. That was the thing, is we all had really good strategies. We all worked well enough together. I mean, we didn't even have as many players as they had. Remember, they all had like 25 dudes. We had like 10.
Oh, we had nothing. Yeah, we had like a quarter number of people, and we were easily five times bigger than like second place.
Easily kicking these guys' ass. I mean, it was sweet victory. Just beating somebody's ass across the world. That to me was like the first touch of something like that. Doom was a neat multiplayer thing that you could play, but nothing like reaching across and bitch slapping some guy across the world. You know, that was just like, oh man, I could get used to this. That messed me up in the head real good. I mean, I swear to God, I was having like dementia. Like, no, I'm not in this crappy life. I have a military commander, man. I swear to God, you know? Life doesn't suck this bad. That was a milestone for me as a gamer. You know, that was it. Okay, you know, you said Myst, and we skipped over it.
Yeah, it was the first computer game that my dad allowed me to get. My dad has had computers.
Wait, hold on, wait. I hate to cut you off, but that is a good point in this thing. How many games were you allowed to have as a kid?
Actually, my parents never said, oh, you can't have that game, it's too bloody.
Really?
Yeah.
Now see, Ode had issues at home.
Oh, yeah.
You had fucking problems trying to get games in that house.
We were allowed to have one game system between all of us, that was it.
Two other brothers, yes. Yes, there's three boys that live there, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Ode's the middle one, and they were only allowed one game system at a time, and it was in my house, I had as many as I could hoard. It was just like all about fucking collecting these fuckers. That's all I ever did. So I just was, oh, no, this is old. We don't use it anymore. They're all hooked up. And I'm like, yeah, right, Mom. I need that new fucking game for my birthday. It's coming on the corner. You better buy that shit now. You know? But my whole thing was that, like, they couldn't figure out how many games I had on the computer, because it didn't take up any physical real space 90% of the time. You know, it's like very few games were purchased back then with a box. You just bought them online or downloaded a demo and played the fucking hell out of it, mm-hmm. you know? So it was awesome to me to have, like, this unlimited supply of games, basically, that didn't exist in as far as, you know, my mom was concerned. So it was like, when I'd ask for a game, it was like, oh, yeah, you know, you haven't gotten a new game in a while, right? Because she's used to seeing, I used to have a stack of, like, 50 Nintendo games. I'd send them off. There was some company that would buy them from you, used, and then you could buy used games back, you know, or they'd send you money or some shit like that, and you could fucking just go. So I would keep doing that, acquire a bunch of games. Even if they sucked, they'd still give you some money. I'd get them cheap off some kid in school, send them off to these guys. Get some money or get new games, and it was like, I had piles of Nintendo games anyway, because they were cheap.
Right.
About the time of the Super Nintendo and all that. But Myst was just before all that. I remember, just before, like Mortal Kombat on the Genesis. I remember playing Myst before that.
Yeah, I thought Myst was a really good game.
It was pretty amazing.
It was the first game that my dad allowed me to have on the computer, because he had had computers since, all the way back when you had to program in order to use them.
Yeah.
And you'd save data on audio cassettes.
Damn.
Because there was no floppy drive. Yeah. There wasn't nothing.
Audio tape from Atomic Sinclair 1000, I've done that.
Yeah. And so these were tools. You did not play video games.
Yeah,
These were tools. And finally, we got our 486. We got our 486 with a CD-ROM drive in it. I think it was 486.
Dude, even my 486 didn't have a CD-ROM. I didn't have one until I had... What was that one when I came back from Rockland? Cyrix 120.
Yeah.
6-speed CD-ROM that I had for, like, what? A week before I bought a burner. I got a 4-speed
I still
Sony
don't own a burner.
Oh, that was a piece of crap.
You know? No, my Sony burner?
Yeah.
That thing was a bomb, dude. That thing never... at the time, all CD burners were crap, though.
Like, you had nothing but problems with that thing.
No, it wasn't that one, did I? Did that thing work? That thing... You know what I had problems with? Copy protection. That's why it sucked. Sony adhered to the rules too closely. That's what the problem was. It wasn't a bad burner.
Which is funny that back then you had so much problem with copy protection. Now it's better technology. It's easy as hell to dance around.
But Myst.
Yeah.
See, I never really got into that. I couldn't handle it. It was too, like, frustrating for me to fucking watch that guy walk, or you, whatever the fuck, through areas. There was, like, one... Screen
but it was so cool looking.
But it wasn't, though, man. It wasn't enough action or something to keep my... Sure, it looked pretty good, but you couldn't interact with anything.
Well, the puzzles were interesting, I mean...
But they weren't, though. I mean, like, in every room, you were lucky to figure out what you had to then figure out. You know, it was like, oh, man, here's another fucking screen. I gotta click every goddamn thing again.
Remember the Seventh Guest?
Yeah, the sequel?
No,
wait, what was it? The 11th Hour was the sequel to that.
Yeah, Seventh Guest was the first one.
Seventh Guest, yeah.
That was a freaky game.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, but same kind of concept. I mean, just go from room to room, these pre-rendered scenes.
It wasn't very good, though. I mean, they were great games, but it wasn't up my alley, though.
Well,
nowadays, they could render those same scenes in real time.
Real time, I know.
Well, yeah, but I mean, back then...
And
that was some good graphics.
Oh, you know what? It was. Because I remember seeing it going, God damn it. Why can't I get this shit in a fun game?
Now we do.
Yeah, now we do. The games aren't fun anymore, though.
Yeah.
That's the only problem.
But, it was... I think what amazed me the most about it is because it was on the computer. I could sit and play on the computer, and, because my parents would go watch TV or something, and then I couldn't play. I was stuck, not doing anything. So if I had a game on the computer... If someone was on the computer, I could go play console games.
Mm.
If someone was watching TV, I could go to the computer.
Awesome.
Yeah, see, I think that's a big part of why Myst was so cool to me, because it was something I could do while the family was watching TV.
TV was occupied. Hell yeah. All right. Around that same time, because I remember playing Mortal Kombat with my buddies on the Genesis then, but it didn't hold a candle to the game that kicked my ass, and still kicks my ass to this day. Street... Fighter 2.
Oh, you lived on that game.
Dude, that was when that whole, like, anger thing started. I remember playing Street Fighter 2, and I never was violent with games. Never was violent with games before that. Like, I'd get upset. You know, God damn it, I died, and I gotta start all fuck over again. But never was I outright physically violent with games until Street Fighter 2. When I got that, when I finally moved from the arcade to the home, playing on my Super Nintendo, I mean, I would have to stockpile controllers. Because it was unknown at any given day that I might break a controller or two. And I mean, I wouldn't just like... You cough a lot. I have to edit out coughs of yours all the time.
Do you?
Constantly, yeah. I don't know what it is. It sounds so bad. It sounds so bad. So that's why I'm trying to get the habit of stop talking when you start coughing, so I can just clip the whole section out. This one's staying. So, but this is when, I mean, I used to, and this wasn't like I take the controller and throw it, because that wasn't enough, you know? Just the overhand throw of the controller wasn't enough juice. You'd have to grab that fucker by the cord, spin it around, whoosh, 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 let her rip, and it would crack into something and blow up into a thousand pieces. You'd have little rubber parts and plastic pieces and metal shards and buttons floating all over the room for days after that, going, what the hell? Oh, this is part of a button from a Nintendo controller. Super Nintendo controller. I broke so many of those things until I finally broke the television.
Ooh.
It was mine. It was a little 13-inch piece of shit TV, you know, that I had. I was playing Atari 2600 on that same TV, so to give you an idea of how old that TV was. I was thinking
the living room TV.
Oh no, I would have been murdered if I broke that TV. But this was mine. I finally just got up, fucking Bison, because I was getting my ass kicked, and he was cheating. I fucking kicked that screen so hard, boom! TV goes rolling off the back. I was fucked. That sucked. But I ended up buying a fat TV after that, so that was all worth it. But you know, like, no game made me mad like Street Fighter, because I knew I had like a certain level of skill, and that I could, and how come you can fight the same guy and he'll whoop you clean sometimes, and then you'll beat him perfect other times, and it would drive me nuts, because I'd play, you know, you get a code to up the speed, and because normal speed, like even the highest normal speed you can go was not fast enough, so you put in a code, jack it up to like 7 or 8 or 9 speed or whatever.
Oh yeah, there was a cheat code you could put in that would let you do it.
Yeah, on the second controller, when the Capcom logo comes up, it's like up, down, fucking right, left, A, B or something. You can hear the little noise or whatever, you know, and boom, then it would unlock the higher speeds.
Right.
That to me, that was a code. Look at today. Okay, you press fucking 4 keys and you've got unlimited ammo and you're invincible. Here you go. Yeah, that sucks ass. You know, what happened to, you know, let's make the game more challenging.
I like the Mortal Kombat blood code was the best.
You know, you had to have stuff like that. You know, that was awesome. You know, but Street Fighter 2, to this day, is the best fighting game still. The closest one I've found, for me anyway. Okay? Soul Calibur's fun. You know, Dead or Alive is alright for the Jigglies. But, you know, Mortal Kombat just doesn't have it. The controls suck ass and that. Street Fighter series.
Want to hear a funny story about Mortal Kombat?
Yeah, as soon as I finish this up, the Street Fighter, still to this day, it has what it takes. It's got the tightest controls. I think it's just perfect. But the closest thing that I've got to that is Killer Instinct.
It was an awesome
game. It was. And I really, really urge Microsoft to squeeze a new one out of Rare. Go ahead, Ode.
Okay. I knew a guy that was actually... He used to work for a company that was doing a port of Mortal Kombat 2.
Oh, yeah?
So he got to work on the source code for Mortal Kombat 2. And when they first started looking at it, they were like having some issues with the... you know, the impact code, you know, where basically, like, if you throw a punch, like,
yeah.
You actually hit the guy.
Yeah.
And he says, well, we need to get your stuff. And they said, well, okay, here it is. And he figured it'd be like, you know, multiple rectangles stuck together would be the collision code, right?
Uh-huh.
A single rectangle for each guy.
Oh, my God.
In Mortal Kombat 2. This is number 2, not 1.
No wonder it's so bad.
Yeah, it was a single fucking rectangle.
Holy crap. That's fucking horrible.
That's the collision code.
The collision detection is great. Oh my god.
Interesting story. But
I had no idea, but you know, I mean, it does play like that.
That's insider knowledge there.
I'm surprised I didn't pick up on that, because you can kind of tell. You know, I mean, you know, you play games all the time, you're like, oh my god, dude, the collision detection here sucks. But you haven't seen it.
I always figured it was like, okay, they just don't use enough. Well, they used one, like the minimum.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah.
You know what we're talking about?
Really.
This is the area where your character gets hit.
Right.
Is one rectangle.
If a fist goes into a certain region, then your character is counted as hit.
Exactly. Right? You see, so if this guy throws a punch and it enters this zone, it registers as a hit to the computer. No game does that with one fucking box. They're, you know, because they're supposed to be shaped like the fucking character.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, since you have multiple boxes that are smaller, you know,
oh,
they use one fucking... Oh my god.
One.
I had no idea.
I didn't either. This wasn't the first one, it was the second one.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, that's pretty cheeseball. That fucking game, I never cared for Mortal Kombat too much anyway. You know what, here's something that blew my mind. At the same time, playing these Super Nintendo games, I ran into the very first game that overwhelmed me. Right, now I don't count Phantasy Star 1 because I was too young and I didn't even know what it was. Like, I mean, try to play Phantasy Star 1 now and you're fucking like, oh my god. I was playing just a day, and it sucks ass for the longest time, because you're just level grinding to like 15 before you can buy anything and go anywhere outside the first town. You're seriously out in the front door for 10, 15 levels.
Whoa.
It sucks balls. You know, anyway.
Like freaking MMORPG.
It is too, Rabbit Hunter. So, but this game, I actually, now, you know, I was grown up more now, and I knew what was going on, and I could follow complicated games. So I was into Star Flight. This game flat out had too much game for me. I could not fucking handle this game at all. It came with a star chart. You know? And it's like you unfold this fucking thing and you're like, okay, what am I looking at here? All these little dots, planets? No. No way. And they are. Each fucking place you can go to in this game, and there's tons of them, right? And it's like, okay, you're doing good at first. You're going from planet to planet because you're guided along really easily. You're going here to go there to talk to these guys, blah, 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 blah. You run into some aliens. There's all these different alien races. You can be nice with them. You can, like, you build, like, faction with them. You know, they either like you or they don't. They hate you. They attack you on sight. You go mind planets for
your choice.
You know? You talk to them. And some of them outright hate you to begin with, but you talk to them and eventually they decide, you know, because you fucked up, whatever, stole something from them later on. You go to one of their planets, their home planet or something, bunch of their ships flying around. You fly in, mine the planet, take all their special artifacts and shit, fly away, they hate you.
So some of them are your choice.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
If I remember correctly. But man, this game was so big, and I had the pimpest starship. I mean, it was a bomb after I was done with it, you know, because you could get, like, inventory upgrades, you can carry more shit, you can get weapon upgrades, all kinds of stuff. But it just got to the point where it's like, when I realized I'd only explored, like, a quarter of the universe, and I'd been cruising around for, like, months, then I was like, this game is fucking huge. And if I remember right...
How do they fit all that in a cart?
I don't know, but it was big, too. It was like one of the thick-ass, heavy ones. You know, it was like
taller.
You could feel the weight, you know?
Yeah.
This was burly. This game was burly. And it overwhelmed me. I could not beat that game because I just didn't know what to do. It came to the point where it's like, oh my god, I could live in this game. You know, it seemed like at the time. It's relatively small now. And I'm pretty sure that I could whip it out now, you know, like no problem. I'm pretty sure. But at the time, it was like I'd never seen anything that big before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that blew my mind. I remember, you know what else I was playing at the same time? The first game that came close to being a proper Zelda 1, like, knockoff, I guess. Like, because we didn't have Zelda 3 yet. I didn't have A Link to the Past yet. Not just yet. But I was playing something called Crystalis. That was still on the Nintendo, though. And I didn't have A Link to the Past. And I remember going back, and I remember somehow playing Genesis games and Super Nintendo games. Nintendo games. This fucking Crystalis game was badass, but not quite...
I think I've heard of it. I don't think I've ever played
it. It was cool, because you had a bunch of different swords and shields and a bunch of shit instead of just the ones that you would replace. You could actually switch between, like, a fire and a wind and water sword and all that shit. That's when you played. That's when we all... This is when everybody... When A Link to the Past got dropped on the whole world.
It's such an awesome game. Because I didn't have the experience of the first Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
So this was my first taste of this game. And, I played the shit out of that. Like, nothing I had ever played before.
Really?
Yeah. I was hooked. And that was probably one of my first RPG-like experiences. Like, and it was awesome. One of the only games I've ever played that I've beat more than twice.
Yeah.
I think to this day it's might even be the only one that I've beat more than twice.
Damn. Yeah, you know, I can't say that for too many either. Not too many. A few, not too many though. That's definitely one of them too.
Yeah.
That's definitely one of them.
Seeing how fast you can get through it, like.
Yeah. Did I miss anything? Can I bomb over here? Oh no, wait, I can't because I can tell where I can bomb. That bothered me. Because you know what? If you ask me, Zelda 1, the first one, is simply a better game. It's a better game because it's like I spent more time and I cared more. On top of all that, what happened when you beat Link to the Past? Did you just start over? It's been a long time, so I can't remember.
No, there's a story. There's an end.
But what happens if you want to play it again?
I think you just said I don't think there's a plus game. I don't
know. No, there's nothing else, right? I'm pretty sure that there's nothing else. There's nothing else, right? In The Legend of Zelda. This is on the Nintendo. The first one. You beat it, you go to the second quest. That floored me. Wait a minute now. I just got through playing the best game I've ever played, and I get to do it again.
And it's all different game?
All the enemies are harder.
So it's a plus game.
It's like a, yeah, exactly. The map, the overland map is the same. But like, each zone is different. Like all the staircases and the caves you go into, they're different now. Right? Like, so where level 1 would be, well, level 1's the same, but like where level 8 would be level 2 is. Okay, where level 9 was level 3 is, but, not only do you not know where any of this shit is anymore, but they're harder. They're different maps. The levels are different. It is fucking just, oh my god, when you see it, you're just like, oh my god, you know.
It's like Master Quest, what they were gonna do for the Ocarina of Time with the N64.
Yeah, yeah, with the DD. The DD thing, the disc thing, yeah, right, the disc drive.
Hey, I gotta call, hold on a sec, guys.
Okay, yeah. See, that's why I didn't make the list. It was a fun game. Blew my mind, I played that shit for hours. But, it didn't have it. Because I was stuck, I was big on Genesis games at that time. Super Nintendo was just lacking for me. You played Earthbound. Something that was just amazing.
Earthbound has more, it's an RPG. For those, I'm sure most people know about Earthbound. It's called Mother in Japan.
Yeah.
There was going to be a Mother N64 for N64 for the DD. It never came out. But this RPG...
Alright, we're talking about Earthbound on the Super Nintendo.
This RPG had more style in the screen that you picked your character name than most RPGs have in all 40 hours of gameplay. This game is just awesome. It's set in like kinda now, kinda future. You like this little kid that fights with a baseball bat, and it's cool.
Weird.
It's
awesome. I never played.
No?
I couldn't afford, I didn't have, it was like Super Nintendo or Genesis, what do? And I was a Sega fan since day one. So I'm a Genesis guy.
Well, I owned the Genesis first.
I ended up having them both, but I ended up spending a lot more time with the Genesis because I seemed like I had more games. Super Nintendo games were expensive.
Yeah.
So that's why I got...
Back then, both my parents were still together, and so I got, like...
See, even my stepdad had left at that
point. So bad.
My stepdad had left at that point. Yeah, nothing. It was like I was fucking getting scratched together for games, you know?
Yeah. The Super Nintendo area...
How long did you play that one for?
Huh?
Earthbound.
Yeah, I only beat it once.
Ah.
Only beat it once, but...
They had a lot of crazy shit, though.
With
Lufia? Didn't they have a Lufia on there?
Yeah, there's several of them.
Yeah, there were two, I think. Right? Secret of Man. Oh.
Yeah. You want me to talk about my Shadowdale story, or what?
Oh, shit. Yeah, well, hold on. Well, let us finish talking about Super Nintendo games, because this is, Shadowdale was after that.
It was? Oh, yeah. That was, like, internet days.
Yeah, so.
The Breath of Fire series.
Yeah, there was a lot of amazing stuff on there. On during the same amount of time, Breath of Fire.
Yeah.
That was another one that you had.
Yeah, I think that was my first real... console RPG experience, I think. I can't remember that far back well enough, but I'm pretty sure. And it was an awesome game. Ever since Super Nintendo, it's been all about RPGs for me.
Yeah.
And it's, although it's never been quite the same.
I was just gonna say, it hasn't been like that, though.
And, well, maybe the problem is more that it has been like that. It's that they haven't really moved forward enough.
Yeah. You're still going to buy Tales of Symphonia here when it comes out, aren't you?
But that's a lot different.
Yeah, we hope. You know,
I've never played a game like that. Well, the whole battle system.
Yeah,
that alone
sounds cool. That's why maybe you should try Grandia. I don't know if I still have it laying around here, but Grandia was dope. That game was cool. I mean, it wasn't the best. It was damn cool. The combat system was top notch. It was on the fire.
There was one action RPG for the Super Nintendo. You were trying to save Gaia. There was like three.
I had that. That game was a bomb. It was
one guy with the...
Fuck me, what was that called? Illusion. Illusion of Gaia.
Yeah.
That game was awesome.
Yeah, that game was a lot
of
fun.
Oh my god, I had that. I beat that too.
Yeah.
I played the crap out of it. It came with a free t-shirt that I didn't get for some reason. They ran out at EB or something. I was pissed. That was mad, one mad little like 15-year-old or something. That pissed me off. Dude, that game was a... But when I... Okay, around that same time, I was playing Final Fantasy VI. Which, if you've ever heard Gamer before, you know that that is like the game that I hold the highest of all games. And it's only because, to this day, I have put more hours into that game than any other game except for possibly, and I say possibly because I spent a lot of time in Final Fantasy VI, possibly Final Fantasy XI. And it's weird to say that because I can't stand most of the Final Fantasy games. And yet Final Fantasy VI is probably the best game I've ever fucking played. You know? And Final Fantasy XI has got me hooked again. But everything in between I see as garbage. And how do they do this? Once in a while, it triggers something in my head, you know? Square implanted chips in our brains. That's what it is. It must have been. You know, but in Final Fantasy VI to me, this is the first game I think that I actually even paid attention to the music in that would inspire emotion in me. Like, the game itself, like, I'll admit it, I cried. I cried. You ever cried in a video game before?
Nope.
I didn't think I'd hear you snickering and laughing at me, you bitch. But I mean, come on.
I don't know if I have or not.
See, then you haven't played a really good, involved, emotional game. I cried. I felt for... To this day, I wonder if the towns that I saved are still okay. You know, to this day, I want to make sure that, you know, the people I put in power are still in power.
It's like, why did they make a sequel to 10?
That's what I want to know.
To freaking 10.
That's what I want to... Fuck that. And then with this Advent Children movie crap for 7, you know...
I think it's going to be fat.
You know what, it probably will be. And I think they're doing it for the fanboys of 7. 7 was huge, and it was just a bunch of crap.
I hated 7, and I think it's going to be fat. Mm. I hated the whole materia system. Yeah. Everybody could be everything. It pissed the hell out of me.
Yeah, I don't know. Well,
but that movie looks like it's gonna be fat.
This, yeah,
it's because I bust a nut with CGI, with good CGI.
Yeah, you know what? I don't like it. I don't. No matter how good it is, it always feels weird to me. Almost like I can't understand the words that are coming out of their mouth. I would rather read it on the screen and see it from an eagle eye point of view, you know, and see, you know, the scene from far away rather than through somebody's eyes or right up on them with beautiful CG and hear them speak. It doesn't like do it for me. It's like I can't follow it or something, but it's weird. But that game definitely made my list for like every reason in the book. The pinnacle of games right there to me. I mean, I cared about the characters. Listen to how absurd that sounds from an outsider's point of view. Go up to your mother and tell her that you care about these characters in a video game. See what she says to you. See if you don't wind up in a hospital the next day. You know what I mean? It's like I can't.
Oh, it's like a book.
You know? Yeah. I get pretty involved in some of the books I read too.
And a lot of people do. You can explain that to your mother and she'd understand a lot.
Yeah, probably just because they didn't grow up with video games and whatnot. But I mean, Jesus Christ. This game blew my fucking mind. And it still does to this day. There's a reason why I have multiple copies of it laying around here. I have even the crazy one. Where the hell is it? Oh, it's not up here. It's like $70 on eBay, and they still have a few. It's crazy. It's the sealed.
Hey, little bit of an aside here. BCNF starting pretty soon here.
Yeah, I know. We got 20 minutes, so we got to be there. They can fucking wait.
You have equipment ready or what?
So what? We got to go. Do you have a Cigna?
No.
Does Hades have a Cigna? I think he bought one because he was making some kind of joke about it yesterday. Remember he was saying something about showing off his news? If not, I can afford Cigna and the Horn if you can. So I'll hook you up. All I need to buy is there's a level 36 plus one dagger I can buy for like $5,000. It's like nothing.
Here's the part. Hades is out.
Wait, fuck this. We're not talking about this in our last 20 minutes, okay?
Oh yeah, go.
All right, nobody wants to hear about this shit but us, okay?
Okay.
So, at least not while we're recording episode 50. We'll talk about
it.
Well,
you might as well cut it out. I mean.
You know? Well, whatever. Okay, after the Super Nintendo days, we went to the Saturn and the PlayStation. Right now, notice that I didn't have one single game on my list for the TurboGrafx-16, which I thought was probably the cooler of all the consoles. And I played so many fucking games on the TurboGrafx-16, and I did not have one game that was a life-altering. There was tons of fat, amazing games on that system. It's for the CD and on the cards. But not one game that was a life-altering game for me. Towards the end of the life of the Super Nintendo, Donkey Kong Country came out.
Yeah, this game, for some reason, made my thumbs. I would sit there and play that game so long, I don't understand why. The game was not that good, not compared to Super Mario World, not compared to all
Mario Kart.
Yeah.
I mean, I put weeks, months of playtime into Mario Kart.
I have no idea. I mean, just as a side-scrolling platformer, Super Mario World was a far superior game.
Yeah.
But for some reason, Donkey Kong Country, I would sit there and play.
That's bizarre. Because
I didn't like that at all. It's a really popular game, though. It's a really popular game. I love that shit.
The style of the graphics, I think, is what did it for me.
Yeah, that turned me off. It looked too much like Claymation to me.
I thought it was really cool. I don't know. As far as gameplay goes, as far as everything goes, I couldn't explain it.
It was just like even the game. Huh?
Even then, I couldn't explain it. I'm like, what the hell am I doing?
Now we move on to the next generation. Now I bet not one of us here has a game for the Saturn on this list.
I never played anything on the Saturn.
See,
never even held, aside from when I played, dicked around with your Saturn.
That's
I
a
had never
cast.
Oh, yeah.
See, okay, so
I don't think I've ever even held a Saturn controller.
I don't think there was not one game for the Saturn that blew my mind, other than possibly the Panzer Dragoon games. Those were fucking amazing, but they weren't life shattering. I didn't fucking call into sick every day for a month because I wanted to play though, like some of these games. You know, I didn't fucking skip school. I didn't skip, you know, I didn't lie to people to play more. You know, I didn't fucking fake an illness to play more for those. So it just blew over. The PlayStation. I cannot name a fucking game on there that was mindless, other than remakes of shit. Final Fantasy VI happens to be on it, okay?
Yeah.
Street Fighter Alpha 3 happens to be on it, but it didn't. I still play it a lot, and I still own it, and they're all sitting right there. But it's not like Street Fighter 2 was at the time. It wasn't like I put that many man hours into playing these games. And do either of you guys have a PlayStation game?
Nope.
See? Not one. Now, I'm getting at something here. There's a point to this episode. At the end of all this, I have a point to this. Okay, now, I would venture to say, though, there is one PlayStation game that is above all the rest. Possibly two. I'll say the second one. Okay, Metal Gear Solid. That game is fucking incredible.
I suck at it, but yeah, it's really good.
Okay, you know, whether or not you know you're good at a game or not, if the game, you know, I mean, whatever. If you enjoy it, and if it's one, it's like you keep playing for some reason, that's a good game, you know. But what do you keep doing that? Why don't you turn that off? I'm gonna slap you. Jesus Christ. Go to the properties under your fucking thing and tell it to not turn the monitor off. God, or log you out is what it does. Even worse.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ. Anyway, so, okay. But I would say, on the PlayStation, if there's one game that you must play, it's Symphony of the Night, Castlevania. No comment, huh? The minute I fired up Symphony of the Night, okay, I couldn't stop playing until I beat it. And I found out that when you think that you're 100% through this game, you're 50% through. And it didn't bother me one bit. It was just like, oh, fuck yeah, doggy, I get to play more. I mean, that game, Blue, that was like the next best side-scroller I'd seen since like Bionic Commando. You know, Mario World was really good, I didn't care for Donkey Kong Country. All of a sudden, we got Symphony of the Night, which I didn't play. So I didn't play that until recently, and everybody knows that, you know, since we were talking about the show. I didn't play that until just a couple of months ago. Somebody told me to play it, you know, people demanded I play it. Turned out to be the best thing for me, because it was like, thank God, a game that I can really get into. Now, then we hit the Nintendo 64. Now, Ode, I don't think you ever had one, right?
No, I didn't, but I played the Zelda on it, I played Bond game on it.
Oh yeah, GoldenEye.
Yeah.
See, GoldenEye, man, I fucking, New Year's Eve. New Year's. I tell it, okay, this is when I lived, remember, that was during when I was in Rockland. So I'm living in my own apartment, by myself, I got a ton of friends down there. They were just party animals. Huge parties going on, where do you think I was? I was by myself, listening to the radio, trying to unlock the last special thing in GoldenEye that we couldn't do. It's on, like, the second level. And it's the invincibility, because you beat the level with a speed time, you know, or like a certain percentage of key, and it unlocks things, you know, you can do like paintball mode, big head mode, blah, etc., whatever. There was one that none of us could ever do, and there was like five of us that were just addicted to this fucking game, played it all day long. And it was like invincibility. You had to beat like the second or third level in like 2 minutes and 15 seconds or some shit. It took me 4 hours, through midnight, through all the parties and all that shit, but I fucking did it. It was incredible. It was a fucking moment, you know? But it still wasn't something that changed my life. I mean, I was really into it, but there was other games I was into, too. I was still playing Doom on my computer at the time. So, I mean, GoldenEye was the best until Halo, if you ask me, first-person shooter on a console. However, the game that changed my fucking world...
Mario 64.
Mario 64.
That game was awesome. I think...
There's nothing like it to this day. Nothing with the perfect camera, the perfect controls, fun, you know, I mean, it, wow. You know, wow, is all I can say. I remember sitting down.
Versatility of levels.
Yeah. You saw so much. Look at they dropped the ball hardcore on Mario Sunshine.
I know.
Dude, you're in the same fucking tropical thing all the time? Fuck that, it's lame. Okay, you got water gun? No way. No way. You know? Look, oh my god, I remember. Mario 64. Nintendo 64 came out. I had to have one. Had no fucking money. My sister hooks me up fat all the time. I don't know why, she loves to feed my habit. She fucking looked all over town for a Nintendo 64. You know where she found one? This whole town, Reno, sold out. She lived in Tahoe. I was in Sacramento. Take a wild guess what store that we still go to today for weird shit at it.
Shopko?
Yeah.
I got, when I got back that year, I was down in San Diego visiting my grandma. When I came back for Christmas, my dad wanted to get me an N64 for Christmas. And he went to the airport and he's all, son, I have to tell you, I've been...
You can't find it.
The last 2 days,
yeah.
I have been searching this whole town. There is not an N64 to be had in Northern Nevada. I have looked and looked and looked. They're gone. And I said, no. And we're driving back and we see that one store that's by Best Buy. It's like this, it's not the same store anymore. It's like Surplus something or other. It's this crazy, like, warehouse type place. Anyway. We go in there on a whim, and they have one left.
Oh my god!
So one left, and he's, and the guys, and my dad's all, and I'm like, yeah! And so we bought it. That's the year I got my first Christmas present, so I know the N64 is there.
Yeah.
It's in the car, it's my Christmas present.
Yeah.
And then my dad goes home, and he puts it in the closet and says, okay.
Oh!
I have to wait for Christmas. It's burning. The N64. I know it's there.
What day was that?
Thanksgiving Day.
Oh my god! How in the fuck could you? Oh my god!
The N64 is in the closet, and I can't open it.
See, my birthday is October 24th, so I had it right when this shit came out. My sister goes, "I gotta find this for him. This is what he wants, right?" She's really good about that. From taking care of my hobbies, so she. She looks all over, finds it, finally. I mean, she went all over the fucking place. Finally finds this fucking thing, and I'm coming to town. I'm coming up here to stay with her, right? For my birthday. I was off work and all that. It was on a weekend or some shit, too. And she set it all up, because she knew that all I wanted to do was, you know, hey, how's it going? Let's turn this fucking thing on, you know? She set it all up. She had my buddy over there, and they played it. Right, she had Mario and the Nintendo 64, and they played it, and I'm kind of a fucking little...
They played it before you did?
Yeah. Well, they had, how could you resist? Could you resist? You know, you're sitting there with a console for someone else that's brand new, and you're like, oh my fucking god, I want to play this, I don't have one myself. Could you resist? Hell no, you could.
I don't know, but that's fine.
It was all good, but, you know... I thought, great, I don't have to hook it up. I can just come in and fucking get some food, you know, play some fucking games. It's going to be red. But what I got there, it's all sitting there, all brand new and everything. I was, oh my god. But what I didn't know that they played it. Later on, she told me. She goes, yeah, we played it. And she goes, we had to rub it, and clean the controller with rubbing alcohol. Because I'm like, I can tell if somebody has touched a controller, a telephone, a remote control, a mouse, I know. It drives me insane. Yeah, I got major OCD with a lot of shit, but... That one always drives me the worst crazy because I touch a controller, it's all slimy and greasy and I can't get a good fucking grip on it, you know? So she was like, oh my god, you know, I was so worried that you were going to be able to tell, you know, and that you were going to be like, oh my god, what the fuck happened? Did you find this used somewhere or something? This is nuts, dude, because that night she goes to sleep. And I'm sitting there in her place all by myself in the living room, sleeping bag, pillow, soda, TV, Nintendo 64. I didn't sleep. I did not sleep. I got all the way to that part where you're in the underground world, where it's like the second level in Super Mario Brothers 1. Remember when you go underground, it's all dun 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 dun. You do the negative world thing, the second level, right? 1, 2 in Super Mario Brothers, and it's the same fucking music in Super Mario 64 when you're at that point. But my brain isn't quite able to wrap itself around the fact. That I'm seeing this in 3D.
Because you're so tired?
Well, it's like on top of being tired, I've never seen anything that good before.
Yeah, this was the first...
I mean, PlayStation didn't do it. The Saturn didn't do it. You know? It just... Nothing looked that good. Blew my fucking mind. And I played the holy hell out of it. To this day, I sit down and play it every now and again because there's nothing like it. There's not been a platformer since that has been that good. There's just simply nothing that great. blew my mind playing Mario 64. After Mario 64, though, the Super Nintendo kind of just, I don't know, we had Killer Instinct Gold, it was great, but not mind-blowing. GoldenEye, fan-fucking-tastic, but didn't change my life anyway. You know, from there, though...
The Ocarina of Time.
See, that, you know, somehow, it didn't strike me as any better.
Really?
It just didn't do it. I didn't think they did the fat 3D translation. I mean, they did a good job. And I really enjoyed myself, but I think I need to have a second round with it. I think I need to try it again, because I never beat it. And I got stuck in the water level and couldn't get past it. And I quit. I got frustrated.
It took me, I did the same thing. And then I went, like last year or something, searching for an N64, bought one, bought the cart at a pawn shop or something.
Why didn't you get the fucking, you have the GameCube, why didn't you buy the Cube version?
I have such trouble buying something for 30 bucks.
I knew this was going to be that argument.
They got it for free. Why do I got to pay 30 bucks? When someone got it for free.
Because your dumbass didn't get one for free like you should have. Damn you. The other one's going for like 40 to 50.
I know. And it was free.
Yeah, but I had to... No, not necessarily. I had to get a subscription to Nintendo Power for that shit.
Well, yeah, but you got... You paid for...
Do you think I've read one issue of that fucking shitball magazine? Not one.
You mean
literally.
The 12-month issue of Nintendo.
Nintendo ads? Yeah. Not, but I want to. I want to see if they remind me. I literally have not read one since I've got it. But I want to read one just to check it out, because the last time I read one was like 10 years ago. I want to see if it's still the same, you know? I miss Nestor and his little adventures and all that shit. But I know they don't have that anymore, but I'm just curious what if it's still the same.
Actually
now,
paying for an infomercial?
Talk about a slap in the face. Now, around that same time, right around Zelda is when I pre-ordered Zelda Ocarina, Ocarina of Time, when I came back, and Ode was full bore into this Shadowdale game. Because, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, go ahead, talk about Shadowdale, because, dude, this owned your life.
I was in Shadowdale for, like, 3 years of my life. I could not believe how much the fuck I was into this game. It was an online MUD, you know, back when people don't know what those things were, multi-user dimensions. Basically, it was text commands. You could say, go north, attack this, go north, go east, do this, do that, the other. But it had a lot to it. I mean, seriously, it had more content than most commercial MMOs nowadays. I'd say it has more content than... But the reason it had so much content was just because the players would add content. The way the game worked was, one guy would start it up, like some hobbyist would start up a MUD server. And then as you leveled up, if you got to the final level, which was 50 in this game, you could gain, like, an absurd number of experience past that, and then you qualify to be an immortal, a god, and then you become a level 51 god. And then, like, the god rank levels were 51 to 59. And you didn't level by killing stuff, you leveled by, like, building zones or doing things. You know, they would give you, like, they basically give it as a reward for contributing to the game and making the game a better place. And I made it to level 52 as an immortal, one of my characters. Who was a ranger initially, and then became a god, and I remorphed him into a stone giant, you know, as a god and stuff. But my crowning, I went through and I would just, you know, I'd go through and I would try to, like, exploit every little thing of the game. I had the largest clan on the game. It was a 5,000-player-based game, and I had the largest clan.
Blood of Heroes, baby.
Yeah, the Blood of Heroes.
The basic heroes never die.
There were two groups of people. There was my group. You know, people, you know, there was O's group. People would, like, rally to me, and then there was the other group, which was Mason's group. This other guy that was on the server, and he had a much higher level of mortal. He'd been playing a little bit longer than me. And he would sit there, and he would, you know, they would abuse their power all the time. And it just became this war we had, because we were always trying to be as powerful as them. And they had a huge unfair advantage. They'd go through and edit their characters. They would go through and, one of the guys was a fire giant. You couldn't be a fire giant, but one of the guys was a fire giant.
Oh my god.
And he would sit there and he was just incredibly powerful what he could do, but we'd sit there and we'd like find ways to match him, and we would do it, but with cunning is what we would do, because these guys weren't all that smart.
Uh-huh.
We would sit there and we'd be like, oh, okay, like we had a situation where we couldn't kill something. We're like, I got an idea. We find ways to like pin it down with shurikens or something and kill it slowly. Well, we, something like that. There was a situation where there was this creature we could not kill. And to make matters worse, I mean, like, okay, we finally managed to kill it one day. We like, it me and my cronies, right? Me and the people in my clan, right? We got a full whatever they allowed, like the max size group they allowed. We got down to this place. We went to kill this thing. We finally managed to kill it, right?
Uh-huh.
And it dropped the most valuable ring in the whole game. It's so absurdly powerful it shouldn't have existed, right?
Yeah.
And it falls into a pit, burns.
Oh my god.
And we're like, what the fuck? And we find out that, oh, the way they do it is they have a thief stand there and steal it during the battle.
Oh, no way.
And it's like, well, geez, I mean, like, we can't spare a guy to have a thief, and I have a thief in this group, you know?
Of course not, because they suck in every video game.
But
and
guess
all
what I did.
Developers burn in fucking hell for making thieves gimp. But that's
I made a level
for
one
another day.
And
I'm fucking pissed about this still.
If you were a single class in the game, you could get like a higher skill than anybody else in like some stuff. And I maxed them on stealth and stealing. And I had a guy named Kern who was this high level ranger. You know, we were all high level, we're all maxed. You know, because that's like the best part of the game is everyone gets maxed and just does shit. You know, and he led me down to this. Basically, you go to the bowels of hell. He killed a gatekeeper, let me in, and then I go running through this high level dungeon as a level one thief. You know.
Uh-huh.
I'd jump right down into the behemoth, the lair. There was this giant behemoth guy, you know, and I'd steal the ring and I'd run away.
Nice.
Now, it would only work about half the time. The other half the time, I'd just die.
Hey, that doesn't matter. 50% is amazing.
Who cares? I would just lose it, whatever. The whole server found out I was doing it, you know.
Oh.
Because they saw the global death messages.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, everybody has suicide thief.
Oh, shit.
And they had to, like, nerf dive and make it rare.
Oh, that sucks. Well, they gotta institute some control over that kind of bullshit.
Well, what they did, I collected like 30 of them, and what happened was after that, the price jacked up to the moon on it. It was basically worth like, I was worth millions, I mean, the game, which was like, you know, a lot of money in that game. And so I would go and sell them off and stuff and just like fund the rest of my equipment. it was something else.
Damn. You know what, around that time, It was right when you were playing that, because this was actually before my Zelda Ocarina of Time, that I'd forgotten about. I was playing Heroes of Might and Magic 2. Talk about a life-altering fucking game, okay? I lost the ability to sleep. No, and I know that sounds like a joke, right? It sounds like, haha, you were playing so much you didn't sleep? No. We played, okay, my roommate and I. This guy and I fucking played Heroes of Might and Magic 2 and Master of Orion 2. Like, we played like one round on the biggest fucking hugest map you can get with as many computer dudes as you can get, and it would take like 18 hours. We would just play and build the biggest fucking armies and try to conquer the whole fucking map and get every single item and just suck the game dry, and then one of us would win. You know, and it would be over. And then we'd go play Master of Orion, which is like the same fucking game, but in space. You know, so it's like it was all over again, but it would take like a day to play one fucking map. And both of them, we actually had a job for a while. And then we decided, you know what would be a whole hell of a lot cooler? Just playing this all the time would be great. So we quit. We sat there for 2 months, living off of the money that we had, playing on his fucking Pentium 200, his Hewlett Packard Pentium 200 piece of shit computer, okay? Fucking thing would lock up a lot of time in the middle of the game. Not a lot, not often, but like, I mean, you ran it 24/7, and it would probably crash like 6 times, you know? So it's like we were constantly making sure we'd save, because it was like, your turns would take forever. We would fall asleep in the middle of our turns. I mean, he would just be sitting there with his hand on the mouse, just bam! Right? And it was like, I wouldn't realize it for a while, because I'd be staring at the screen thinking about my next move. You know, I'd be like, oh, dude, you're asleep. I'd knock him. He's like, oh, what? Oh, yeah. We literally would stay up 2 to 3 days at a time. At a time before. Okay, and the only reason I knew the time was because, like, Xena would keep coming on TV at, like, 7 o'clock at night. And we kept seeing Xena episodes. And we're like, how many days has it been? And you keep seeing the sun come up and go down and come up and go down. And it's cool at first. You can totally handle it for a little while. You're like, it doesn't faze you. It doesn't bother you. You're in good shape. You're all cool, you know. Your friends still come by, even. What are you guys doing? Oh, we're playing. Oh, you guys want to do anything? No. Like, 4 weeks into it, right? At some point, we realized that we were sleeping like every third or fourth day. For only like 12 hours, too. Like, you would seriously play for like 3 days. And it was like, we have to sleep. I could go another round. But we have to sleep so that we can play more later. So we would sleep 12 hours. And after the first month, I remember one night, I was laying there in bed, We were done. A 3-day session of these two games alternating, right? Laying there in bed, my eyes closed, and I'm seeing the game. I'm sitting in the dark, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm seeing the fucking game. And I laid there in the dark, picturing fucking Heroes of Might and Magic 2 for fucking like an hour, thinking I was playing. Right? Now imagine this. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning now. Pitch black, I've been laying there dead silent the whole time, just laying there in my own bed. And then I hear this. Hey, dude. Right? Okay? I've been laying in bed for an hour, supposedly sleeping. So has he. And as if we were wide awake, I hear, hey, dude. Yeah? I answer back, yeah? I can't sleep. Me neither. Did you want to play again? Yeah. Get up, turn the lights on, and I mean, dude, that has never happened to me before, right? But then after the first month, though, it was weird. It was like we started getting some kind of weird, like, now, I mean, keep in mind, we smoked a fuckload of cigarettes. I mean, because we didn't want to go outside, fuck all that, you know, so we'd buy, like, cartons and keep them in the freezer, you know, and take them out a pack at a time. We both smoked two different kinds, so we had different shit like that, you know. Once a week, we'd somehow make it to his mom's place, who would make, like, ready-made dinners for us, you know, which was awesome. You know, she thought we were working hard on something. Fuck, dude, we didn't do a goddamn thing. We didn't do anything. It was bizarre, though. Our friends would come by, right? And we're sitting there. No matter what time of day it is, it was 62 degrees, right? We figured that out. We both found 62 degrees to be the perfect temperature. So we had the fucking air conditioner on 62 degrees all times, and we'd sit there in shorts and a t-shirt, that's it. Drinking beer, you know, smoking cigarettes, you know. And it's like those guys would come over, and they'd be dead of summertime, and they come over there, and they're just like, the icicles start hanging off their nose, they're like shaking and freezing. Oh my god, you guys, what's wrong with you guys? What are you talking about? You know, he was like, you didn't feel anything. You didn't,
hey, dude.
What?
Yeah. Milsey's got a crash in a couple
of
hours.
Yeah, and Hades isn't in either.
Hades is out.
No, he's not in, though.
Yeah, he's out.
Yeah, I know. And Vale's got to go to bed?
In like a few hours.
Oh, well, we're not going to be talking a few hours. We got like 20 minutes left.
Okay, well, hurry up.
There we are. Well, you can go.
No, we need you guys. Both of you.
No. I mean, you can hang up and fucking get all your shit together, and we'll be there in like 20 minutes. We're almost done.
Okay.
But I really wanted... I mean, we're so close to done, though. You might as well stay.
Okay.
Okay? So anyway, dude, nothing was like Might and Magic 2. That Heroes of Might and Magic blew my fucking mind. We had to, like, retrain ourselves how to sleep. You know, I mean, it was fucking bizarre. I've never experienced anything like that in my life, but it was the coolest time. You know, just two people, just staying up as late as you can possibly go, playing games until you absolutely cannot move. And then it was bizarre. But the only problem was I got sick. At the end of the 2 months, I got ill. I thought I was gonna die. Yeah, it was weird. That was aside from the coolness, that was the bad part. It really fucked me up. But after that, I was faced with a lot of weird games I didn't think were that great. I was playing a lot of PC games at the time. The console didn't impress me too much. The Nintendo 64 was out. It wasn't doing that great. The Dreamcast had come out, but at the time I was so sucked into fucking Tactical Ops, a computer game that was just a mod for Unreal Tournament, that I didn't care about console games. This was the next major game that I played for like 2 or 3 years, it seemed like. I played longer than anybody I know. Hunter got into it, but it was way after. He used to make fun of me. You playing that game still, guy? You suck. And look at him, dude. He got hooked worse than I did later on, you know? He stayed later, even. You know, and Wolf got into it, too. He got just sucked into this game. And all of it is basically Counter-Strike. It's the same fucking idea. It just happens to look better, and I feel play better because it's less realistic. It's more arcadey, more fast, more bullshit, less reality. So it was more fun to me.
Different game,
you know?
I think.
Yeah. You know, I think so, too. Man, and so anybody who knows anything about those kind of games, that's all it is. Team-based, you know, first-person shooter. That's all it is. You got special forces, you got terrorists. And I didn't think that it was possible for me to like a game like this that much, because I tried Counter-Strike, I tried other mods, I tried everything, I couldn't stand them. I barely could stand regular Quake, which was still hella popular. I didn't care for Quake 2 very much, which was popular. Quake 3 was you know, a lot, that might have been after anyway, but that was a lot of fun. But still nothing like Tactical Ops. Nothing like Tactical Ops. 2.2. was. I didn't care for the rest of the Tactical Ops series so much. I still played the shit out of the 3.0 line, but Tactical Ops 2.2. I tell you what, this was like the crowning achievement in fucking multiplayer gaming. This is why this game right here made the mark for me. Okay, this is what it left with me as a, you know, a game. It left a piece of itself with me. There's this one map called the Monastery, my favorite map. There's this monastery, like a fucking church out in the middle of the fucking, like at the top of a mountain.
Right.
Okay? There's underneath it, like cellar kind of thing. Like, you know, there's underground caves and shit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you can, and there's multiple ways that you can come out. And the terrorists, the team that I generally played, I like the terrorist weapons better. And we had hostages down there. The special forces started far away from the monastery and had to come through this tunnel and basically rush the monastery. They could go underground, they could go on the roof, they could go through either side of the monastery. There was multiple ways in. They go to the front door. The problem with the map, which wasn't so much of a problem as it was more of just a complaint by people who sucked, was that the terrorists could get the vantage point just moments before the special forces could get to out of their secluded area. The problem was that the terrorists could get into position on the rails, on the side of the mountain, on the roof, everywhere they needed to be positioned by the time the special forces could run out of this one way out. So it was like we would hold them up in this cave and they could never get out of the cave. And it was really kind of bullshit because if you had any good snipers on your team, special forces would lose. The problem was it was just shitty players. They must have not had macros to buy their inventory or something because they must have stood there a second longer because I could always buy my items and run out there and I would be the lone gunman because they would think they had them all trapped in the cave, but I'm the one guy who made it out before they saw me, before they got into position, right? So I'm out killing those motherfuckers like crazy because they didn't think anybody got out. But the best moment for me was being on terrorists and you had a Parker Hale, a one-shot kill fucking sniper rifle. No matter where you shot him, it was a little bullshit. You could clip a fucking elbow or a kneecap and they'd die.
Damn.
But it was
like the golden gun.
Exactly. The golden gun and golden eye. It was bullshit though, right? But it was, you know, hey, whatever. They got some crazy guns too. But nothing, I don't know. I was a good sniper too. So anyway, I'm up there sniping a couple rounds at the terrorists. Dominating the special forces, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was the special forces started crying. You guys are, you know, camping the fucking thing, you bitches are sniping, blah, blah, blah. I said, you guys just suck. So that's when the gauntlet was thrown. They said, we just suck. Then come the fuck on our team and see how it is. So I said, fuck you guys. Fine. I was confident enough in my skills that day that I will be on the fucking team. I mean, it was like 0 to like 20. You ever get in there, I mean, just asses handed to them with a side of fucking broccoli, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I joined their team. I got all the money in the world because I was rich as a terrorist. When you change sides, you lose your weapon, but you keep your cash. So I bought their best sniper rifle. Not their best gun. They have a better gun, but it's not great for sniping. It's not dependent. Hell, it sucks for sniping. It's up close. It'll destroy you. But I knew this was a sniping match, just the way the terrorists are playing. I was just in that team. I knew their strategy. They camped the same spots every time. So I'm out there with their best sniper rifle, which is a one-shot kill if it's in the head.
Right.
And it's like 75 on the body, right? So it was like I had to prove, you know, it wasn't just like I could just fire anywhere. Now I had to really pay attention if I wanted to kill these bastards. In like 3 rounds, I won every single fucking round for that team. I killed them all. Every fucking round. I just step out there and I knew where they were. I don't know why it's so hard. It's not like, well, I was just in that team, I know where they are. No. Every round you play this game, on any server, anywhere, they always camp the same spot. Everybody knows this. It's no secret. Every map in every game is like this. Okay? So it's nothing different than any other game. And like I said, they just sucked. Dude, it was the most awesomest thing I'd ever done in my life. I felt like Jesus Christ himself with a sniper rifle. I was untouchable. I just went out there, and I stayed in the cave. I stayed in the cave. I used the side of the wall for cover. I'd pop out every now and again, plink a sniper, and duck back in. I'd see their bullets hit the ground. They'd shoot at me. They'd miss. I knew it would take them a second to reload. That's my chance to get them again. Mm-hmm. I'd step out, swing to the side, pow, drop the guy off the roof, duck back, step back out there, pow, 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 fire off some shots, you know, just because you had to kind of trick them. You can't do the same thing every time. Run to the other side of the cave, use that side for cover. Dude, it was unbelievable. 3 rounds, we were dominating. Crying. The best moment, though, came when another player standing right next to me, just watching me, my team hold up behind me while I killed him. And he goes, you're like death himself with that gun. And it was just like, I mean, that to me was like a moment, though, because you don't get a lot of compliments in multiplayer games on the internet. You get a lot of, you're gay, you're a noob, you suck, you hacks, oh my god, hacks. You know, yeah, you rarely, rarely, rarely get compliments, right? I was setting scores on Tactical Ops that were, as far as I'm concerned, cheater scores. there's no fucking way I should have been able to do that good, and I didn't fucking cheat, and that's what made it feel so good. What made it feel so bad was when they're looking at, you're playing Trooper 2, and you're 37-3, right? You're fucking dominating. They got one guy who is just as good as you are on their team too. He's maybe 35-5 or something, right? You're both cheaters as far as the rest of the guys are concerned. When it's like, I very well know that I'm not cheating. I may not be able to prove their guy's not cheating, but I fucking know I'm not cheating. You know, and it sucks ass when everybody's like, dude, you're cheating. Then you know, I'm not cheating. Bullshit. And that's what really, really brings you down, I think, you know, in some of these games. And that's why I've been turned off by them lately. That's why I quit Tactical Ops. Every single fucking person cheated. It was bullshit. After Tactical Ops, there was nothing for me for months. I could not find any one game that could hold my interest at all. There was nothing that seemed to do it for me. There was no good platformers, no nothing. Around this time, Ode started playing Warcraft 3. Hello?
Yeah. yeah, it was, I got sucked into Warcraft 3 for a while, and that's probably the first game that I ever really cared about, like global rankings or anything like that. First game I actually ever gave a shit, like, where I compare it to, like, the rest of the world, you know? I mean, I played multiplayer games, and I always wanted to be the best. But you never really cared, like, well, where do you rack up on the whole world?
Because you never really know, either.
What?
You never really know, either.
Yeah, it's not tracked. And
no, some places try to track it, but it's not accurate.
Warcraft 3, you actually tracked it.
Exactly.
And me and this guy in Canada that were playing, we worked our way up the ranks. You know, we got pretty high. We actually fought the best players on the West Coast.
Damn.
At one point.
Yeah, but how many of those motherfuckers were cheating?
And we almost won. I mean, we had a really close game. At one point, we were rushing in with the army, and it came down to, I would say, one guy.
Damn.
Like, when I say, like, as far as the battle went, if we killed one more of their guys, or they had one left guy out there, they would have lost. If we had one more guy, we would have won.
Oh, man.
That's really what it came down to. I mean, we would have taken out the best players in the game.
That's fucking awesome. So I remember, dude, you guys played that shit 24-7. You guys used to create your own strategies, because everybody used that bullshit Huntress Rush crap.
Oh, yeah, we didn't have strategies to beat that.
You guys had so many crazy fucking things that you were working on. I remember hearing it going, you're out of your fucking mind.
Shredder Rush.
And then a couple weeks later, I would see that there'd be a patch to nerf that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa, hold on. What happened? And I shit you not, Ode and fucking Dar were making half the fucking shit for this game. It was unbelievable.
Well, I know, they pissed us off, because every time we make a strategy, they go nerf it, yeah. You know? Like, within a month after we make it, they released the patch.
You guys played that shit way too much.
But yeah, they did it for Shredders, because we were kicking everybody's ass for Shredders, so everyone was whining and emailing Blizzard, like, you're going to do this. It's like, all right, whatever.
I loved, with a passion, Warcraft 3. I loved it. It's the best real-time strategy. I'd say the second best is probably Age of Empires 2. I love that fucking game, too. I probably couldn't tell you which I like better. I think I like the idea of Warcraft 3 having a hero more. But I didn't play it nearly as much as you did, but I day one had to have it, got wrapped up into it, had the expansion, still every now and again get a hankering to play it, but I kinda suck against the people that go stat happy. The guys like you that have the fucking stats memorized of every goddamn unit in the game I can't even compete with. They have a build order that's the same every time. It's almost like work. When somebody like that must play this game because he knows exactly.
When I played it all the time, you could ask me about any one unit, and I'd list the stats.
That's right.
I just knew right off the top of my head.
See, that to me takes the fun out of it. That's why I like playing free for all with a bunch of guys that don't know any better than I do.
I grab the range units, and in a second I figure out which guy was on the enemy side was the weakest, and I target him. You know, some little putt archer, knock him out in one hit, stuff like that. You know, just to knock guys out to get a slight advantage on the
game. Yeah. It's pretty amazing, though. You played that for how long?
Oh, God, I played that game.
Dude, it was all you could talk about for months.
At least 8 months. I lived on that game, and I played it all the time. I play easily. Okay, I logged in. I think it was almost 1,000 a game.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Damn.
That's a lot.
That's a hell of a lot of rank, especially a Warcraft round can go anywhere from... What, half an hour?
Yeah.
To 5 hours.
Actually, it was more than that, come to think of it, because that doesn't count Warforged, which I spent months on Warforged.
Oh, yeah, you guys and your hacked beta cheat fucking servers.
Yeah, that was
bullshit. Hacked expansions, that's what it was. Hacked beta expansions, yeah.
Yeah, we want to play expansion for everybody else, so we were sitting there on Warforged playing
that.
That
was fucking nuts, dude. You know what was weird is I didn't get into it even then. You know what the motivation for me getting the Frozen Throne expansion was? End Frozen. Enfos.
What?
Enfos Team Survival.
Oh, that game was awesome.
Dude, all this was a map.
They allowed you to do so much of those mods.
It was so incredibly cool that that's all I played. Fuck Warcraft through the game. Enfos was way better. The day that you guys told me, right? It was you and Dar that told me about Enfos. Because I didn't play any of those maps. I didn't play shit. I just played straight free-for-all, because that's what I like the best. I think you guys, you and Dar, or maybe just Dar, told me about Enfos, right? Hello?
Yeah.
Right? And,
Dar originally turned me on, dude. He's like, you gotta play.
It must have been, Dar that told me. But that first day, I played for 32 hours. That first fucking day that I got it. Well, day and a half, I guess. I couldn't stop.
That was probably the best of all those kind of games.
I think so, dude. I was hooked. I'm still, every now and again, I make my way over. I bet it's tinyurl.com/n144, I think is the tiny URL for it. I think that's what it is. I haven't been there in a long time, but the other day I was poking around. I had to look it up on Google, but I couldn't remember, but I think that's what it is now. Anyway, they're still working on it, and they still have new versions coming out. I could not imagine playing that game now. Dude, it was such a science. It's like Gauntlet on crack. It was so fucking uber. I miss it. You know, it's like I want to play it, but we've all been sucked into MMORPGs. You played Dark Age of Camelot for a while.
Oh, yeah.
A long while.
Oh, I was stuck on Dark Age of Camelot. Well, it was funny. Like, when I first played it, it wasn't as much fun.
Uh-huh.
Because I played on one of the Care Bear servers or the PvE servers.
The Care Bear servers?
Yeah, we call them the Care Bear servers. The Player Versus Environment servers, because it was such a controlled, dull environment.
Happy? I like that. I don't want fucking PvP servers. I hate that.
Then, no, but dude, the way they did it was perfect. I got on the Player Versus Player server, and it wasn't like bullshit. Like, you know, I mean, there was bullshit in it, but it wasn't like bullshit. Like, Ultima Online, where they steal your gear and all that. None of that stuff happened. You didn't lose experience. It was just a pain in the ass. You lost con points, which you had to buy back, but it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
And if they were purple, you didn't lose anything. Like, just the fact that you were having to raise your guy up in such a hostile environment, I would say the thing that was awesomest about it was the fact that you really developed some friendships on there.
It's like this whole crazy community, real world thing, though.
Oh, and the baddest thing about it was, like, you'd be out there camping somewhere, and you were, like, stealth all the time. Like, I'd go out there with this one guy, Demonic, and we'd be sitting there in Castle Avalon, and people would come zoning in. We'd sit there, hide around the corner, and just ambush him. And we'd sit there camping experience, and they'd just come in, like, for whatever reason, you know?
We'd
like, I would, like, mesmerize them all, and he'd sit there and, like, nuke the hell out of one of them, you know?
Yeah.
And then, like, as you develop rank points, you can spend those rank points on stuff, and you just develop a whole bunch of them, because you're out all over the world doing stuff. You know, when they first did it, they had this player versus player environment that was separated. Like, it was, you'd have to go to the frontier zones, and there was nothing out there. You go out there, and there's, like, a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah, I remember that.
A lot of nothing and a little fort in the middle, you know? And then a lot of nothing and a little fort in the middle. It was, like, so stupid. But when you go when you're playing in the real game, in the real world, running around, you're just killing people. There's a lot of it's just a gank fest if you go in the major towns.
Yeah.
But if you get out of the major towns, like the major cities where you couldn't be attacked in, but in the major towns you'd be attacked in. But you go outside of that, there was like a lot of unity between people. There'd be people on hunting raids. You know, assassins really were assassins. They'd go out there and slaughter people, you know?
See, it sounds like it would have been kind of cool to be part of the whole player versus player thing on that, but the getting to the point where you're a viable character in that game was impossible for me. I could not do that. Was the most boring game I'd ever played. Right, it's right above a sliver above UO.
They fixed that too. What happened was they started giving players a lot more enhancements.
See, it was just too little, too late. It was just too little, too late. I mean, I don't know, that game, it just couldn't pull it off for me.
Yeah.
You know, I know you put a lot of time and effort into it, and that's the reason why I started playing it. But I couldn't fucking handle it. You know, I tried UO2, Anarchy, or wait, no, wait, which was that? What did we play?
You tried UO, I didn't try it.
Ultima, oh yeah, dude, that was terrible. That was terrible.
And speaking of MMOs.
No, see, we're working our way to we're almost done, right?
You're getting restless.
We're almost done. We got two things to talk about. Dark Age of Camelot, are you done with that,
yep,
basically?
Yep.
You're done?
Yep.
Okay, EverQuest.
My first MMORPG was EverQuest. And I'd have to say, out of all the games I've ever played in my entire life, it was probably the most life-changing. Not because it's the best game I've ever played, not by any stretch, in fact, but because I loaded it up, and when I first bought it, I didn't even realize that it was online. It was EverQuest.
What the fuck?
I had never heard of it. I went to Walmart and I saw this little guy. There's elves and there's on the cover. I'm like, whoa, cool. And I get home and I load it into my friend's machine because I was staying the night at his house. I was gonna check it out there. And I was like, wait a second, I gotta pay more? What the fuck is this? But anyway, I get back to my place and I load it up and I'm searching around this world. And it's like, oh my god, this place is huge. And I remember when I was like level 4, and me and my friend were both playing it, and I would wake up. I had a swing shift job. I'd start at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, not get off till like 11, whatever. I would wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning to play this fucking game, and I love sleep. Sleep is like more important to me than video games. So I will spend a lot of time sleeping. But I would wake up at 7 o'clock in the fucking morning to play this game. And we were traveling around the world checking shit out, and all of a sudden we get in this one zone. And later I find out that during the day it's all fine and little bees and flowers and stuff, but at night it's like this undead level 50 plus zone.
Oh, whoa.
So, and this is just like two zones over from my hometown at the time.
Oh, Jesus.
And so I walk in and it's all night and the wind's blowing and I'm like, oh, this is kind of creepy. And all of a sudden a rabid wolf comes up and hits me for like 10 times my max hit point.
Yeah.
Like, ah! It was from there I was hooked.
Yeah, that was it, huh?
When I got hit that hard by something just trying to like check out the world, I was like, oh, this is awesome. Yeah, I played so much that game, it was nuts.
How long did you play?
Like, I played for about 2 years.
God damn. I find it hard to imagine playing a game for 2 years, yet I've done it with multiple games. You know, like, even just some of these alone, this list we've read off, I've done it, including Tactical Ops, including, Might and Magic, Heroes Might and Magic 2. You know, I've sat and played games just that long, and yet, notice the time frame between these games. The point I wanted to make with all these and all these great stories, do you guys notice how many great games and how many games were just that fucking amazing to us before? And notice how our lists, I mean, we completely basically skipped PlayStation. There was nothing amazing there. There was nothing amazing on a Saturn. There was nothing amazing on a fucking Dreamcast. There was nothing amazing on a Nintendo. It's barely on a Nintendo 64. They had one fucking game, right? The last great computer games weren't that great anyway.
Yeah.
How come, like the moments that you were having aren't there anymore? You know, and it's not, now, originally I thought it was all because it was fresh and new. Originally I thought, you know, one of the possibilities is maybe this is your first experience with
this kind of game.
Exactly, right? Or you've never seen Zelda before, right? At all.
I think at the very least that's a good chunk of it.
Okay, I would think that too. But I like to stand by a good game is a good game. They're based on fun. And a very interesting thing. There is a guy, I just barely cruised by their forums yesterday and happened to catch it. It must be one of the editors of our Armchair Arcade. Go there, it's armchairarcade.com, hit the forums. He's never played Zelda, and he played it for the first time the other day. Right? I wish I looked it up. I wish I remembered. I just happened to cruise across.
He never played any of them?
He never had played any of the Zelda games before.
And he's an editor of a video game website?
It's mostly like retro games. Like old games, though. Like old games. Like way older, like, older than what we started here.
We're talking like Palm and Asteroids.
Yeah, it's mostly like really old shit like that, yeah. I mean, they're good games. I don't mean shit, but you know, whatever. Anyway, he'd never played even Zelda 1. So he has it. And he sat down to play the other day for the first time. And didn't get up till like 10 hours later. And right now, see what I'm saying? My point is, he's seen games like that since Zelda came out. He's played games like that since Zelda came out. Yet he's never played this one. He went to go play this one, and it was the bomb. So it's not that we're jaded to it anymore. It's not that it's ho-hum, oh, we've seen this all the time. It's not that. It's a better game. It's a good game. Why? Why was there 6 games that changed my life, or however many, on the Super Nintendo and Genesis, that changed my fucking life, and like, left, and like, I came away with something from that. Yet, I couldn't tell you in the last 3 years, 3 games, I couldn't name fucking 3 great games. I can name Final Fantasy XI, and fucking Tactical Ops. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's stretching it, you know. that's really fucking reaching, too, you know. I mean, why? The list gets so small, as time goes on.
Oh, I've said it several times. and I think, and I'll keep coming back to it because I think it's a huge point, is that video game developers nowadays are in it for the money.
They are
going by a formula. Heaven forbid you reach out a little bit and try something new, and that's what made Zelda so big.
I think so. There was love. There was attention paid.
Yeah,
this was
a child.
Exactly. Exactly. You know,
this was something that was truly important to the people that were making it.
There you go. It was truly important. Unlike it's important. Deadline. Get this fucking game out this week.
Yeah.
We need to make our fucking money. That's important. That's not truly important. That isn't cared for, nurtured. You know, look at this crap we have today. So many fucking games are good, but they're not great. So many games are bored of them. They're all the same a lot of the time, too.
Yeah.
You know, they can play
the formula.
Every fucking first-person shooter, everything, they're all the same. You know, you name it. They all play the same. They all have the same. We need a quirky animal character for our guy. Shit, think of something. Oh, I don't know. What about let's take Cheetah this time. Let's take a fucking hedgehog. Sonic's cool. You may have been toward the beginning of all that, but still. You know, I mean, look at what happened now. We get Crash and all these other crackheads, you know. Oh, it's horrible. But I was lucky to find something like Final Fantasy XI, something that I could care about again, something that put that holy shit, I feel alive again into a game, you know, something that I wanted to play. When I'm sitting at work, what am I? I'm fucking holding onto the chair. My legs are shaking, you know. I'm just like, oh, I gotta get out of here and go fucking kill something or work on some crafting or go talk to somebody I know or go explore. It's so fucking boring in the real world. I'm sitting here in a lobby watching a bunch of worthless piece of shit motherfuckers come in and complain because they don't know how to work a fucking light switch or a remote controller or the goddamn telephone, you know? And it's like, there's so much interesting stuff in this game out there. I want to be part of this world. And I'm not, you know, I can't be. And I gotta get home and I gotta do the laundry today. I gotta do the dishes. I gotta pay the bills. I haven't paid my bills for a month and it's just because I've been slacking. I keep carrying them with me to work every night. Don't! And what happens?
Right now.
I spend time on the forums.
Right now. You guys gotta get online and help us kill a mob.
Right, yeah, see, right now we got plans even. Right now we're planning to do BCNM 40. You know, I don't know what's going on. I mean,
well, you're 30 minutes late and everyone's getting...
Hey, what do you mean everyone? Hades is gone, Dale has to go to sleep, you're here, I'm here, Tobar's here.
No, she's gotta leave in 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Okay, that's more than enough time to do a 15 minute fight.
Well, we're gonna do it 6 times.
What?
One for each person.
That's not going to happen.
That plan.
That, really? Nobody told me that. Nobody told me that.
Hey, you got to make money. You got to do more than once, man.
When BCNM split 6 ways isn't so much.
Yeah, one of us is going to go as leader each time.
It's not about money. I have a million gil.
You have a million gil?
Yes.
When the shit did that happen?
You didn't know that?
No.
Yep. I not anymore. Now, before I switched to Ninja, before I cut all everything else off and switched to Ninja, I had over a million gil. Right after Hades bought his Hobbergon thing for 1.135 million, it was dead broke. The next day, I had sold one more whatever and shelled out 50, oh no, I sold Teleport Basel for 50k and it bought me up over a million gil. I'm down to 700,000 now because I've been dumping cash, dumping gil into my ninja.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, that's a lot. And I think it's all in the powers. It's not in equipment.
That's why you want to do BCNM so you can have enough for damn shiki.
But I'm not broke, though. I mean, but see, my point is, everybody, okay, we got to go. But a game like this where you can get your friends together and people care and you can hold on conversation in the real world about the game world. This is a fantastic game. Something that you care about. I think about my character and her well-being, you know? I think about the world around me and the friends I've met and how I affect the world. I'm concerned with, you know, what town has more influence in what regions. I like to watch the region updates so I know if we're getting our ass kicked, I need to work harder for my country. You know, it's like, how come I can care so much about this and I can't give a fuck about anything in the real world? Because it all sucks ass. You know, but why are there enough great games to do this to? Now, granted, there's only limited space for great games.
Yeah, the last thing you need is going,
holy shit, I got 5 games I care about. But it would be nice to have a constant stream of games I care about.
Yeah.
Rather than it's been, think about it, since I quit Tactical Ops over like a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, couldn't find fuck all worth playing until Final Fantasy in December. And fuck all was worth playing.
You know, it's...
What is wrong with that?
I was almost thinking for a while yesterday, because I knew we were going to get into this, was that if you can't find anything that really grabs your attention and sticks you for a long time, what do you have to do?
You have to keep buying more fucking games until you find something.
Yeah.
Because there is a game out there that is for you. I know that. I keep finding them. You just gotta find it. They, oh yeah, they do. They know it too. They know it. They fucking know it. And that's why I tried EQ. I tried EQ, man. Dude, everybody in the world seemed like they played EverQuest. I tried it two separate occasions. Could not tolerate this fucking game. I couldn't handle it. It was ridiculous.
Well, part of the reason is you picked the wrong class to start with.
I guess, but I like playing mages and that. Mages and thieves are my
There's plenty of mages that are a lot better than the wizards.
Well, alright, I didn't know. But even so, why would this suck? Why can't they all be balanced enough that you can play what you want and have fun? Look at the problem I'm facing as thief. I have to quit at 60 because I'm useless.
Do it, try to, but it just never works out that way.
And I don't want to get into the our actual playing of Final Fantasy. You know, I don't want to get into that right now. We'll save that for another time.
Yeah, and we need,
I know, we gotta go. I know you're getting all antsy, but I don't know why.
Time-wise.
I know, anyway. I saw that too. So, I don't know. This was 50. It was huge. I really wanted it to be long, too. That's kind of why I dragged it out. Because I thought the stories were worth it. I thought the sharing the experiences. I'm gonna want to listen to this. I'm gonna want to hear this and say, holy fucking shit, that sounds good. Why can't I listen to something else like this?
Hope you all enjoyed it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we put some serious effort into it, and we had to lie to Ode. Dude, we only need to record with you for like a half an hour.
I don't mind recording, but we need to just, you know, promise everybody.
I understand.
I have started Final Fantasy, but I need a cigarette.
Yeah. He's fired it up. I gotta save this. This is gonna take 5 minutes to save. We'll be there. We'll see you.
Okay.
I'm down in Crawler's Nest, so I gotta walk my happy ass to Juno.
I'm in Juno.
Alright, well get back to you as quick as you can.
We're coming. Who else is there? Darko's there, right?
We're all ready to go. We're sitting there. We're sitting here. All four of us just waiting to go for you two.
Alright.
Four. Okay.
Four.
Yeah.
Wait, who else is there?
Kaiser, Darko, Velsi, Mailey.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. We'll be there in like less than 10 minutes.
Okay.
Alright. All
right.
Later.
1 2 1 2 1 2 3 fight.
Yo, I've been hearing that a bunch of punk bitches out there are claiming that they got the skills to go toe-to-toe with the Hawkman in the Quake Arena. Ha ha ha, that's some funny shit. If you meet up with me on the Quake server, I'll shove my railgun so far up your ass, it will knock out your peak. Check it. Mighty Stephen Hawking is a fucking Quake god. Got my finger on the trigger and my eye on the quad. I know it's just a game, but I didn't come to play. The Hawkman coming, and he's bringing doomsday. You say, I already know it. I'm a hardcore player, and I'm not afraid to show it. Got a PhD in pain and a master's in disaster. The Mighty Stephen Hawking is a fucking Quake master. Quake master. Quake master. The Mighty Stephen Hawking is a fucking Quake master. Quake master. A disaster.
The Mighty Stephen Hawking is a fucking Quake master.
Sudden death.
We meet on the server, and I say what's up. When we go at it punk, I'm gonna fuck you up. Got you in my sights, and I'm gonna make you bleed. Get used to hearing this.
You have lost the lead.
Cause while you're camping, I'll be cold lamping, and I'll kick it in, and your ass I'll be stamping. Got a PhD in pain and a master's in disaster. The mighty Stephen Hawking is a fucking great master.
Quake master. Quake master.
The mighty Stephen Hawking is a fucking Quake master.
Quake master.
A disaster.
The mighty Stephen Hawking is a fucking Quake master.
Alright, now you know what time it is. I don't care if you're a newbie or a low ping bastard, you tap for me in the Quake Arena and I'm going to tear you a new virtual asshole. Yo, it will sound something like this.
3 frags left. One frag left.
Master. Quake Master.
The mighty Stephen Hawking is a fucking Quake Master.
Quake Master.
Disaster.
The mighty Stephen Hawking is a fucking Quake Master. Quake Master. Quake Master.
The mighty Stephen Hawking is a fucking Quake Master.
Quake Master.
Disaster.
The mighty Stephen Hawking is a fucking Quake Master. Quake Master. Quake Master.
The mighty Stephen Hawking is a fucking Quake Master.
Quake Master.
Disaster.
The mighty Stephen Hawking is a fucking Quake Master.